previously on the Steve Cochran Show.
Now I'm told that you guys have a fantasy football league on the Steve Cochran Show.
A fantasy football league?
I gotta see
I don't
how
know anything about fantasy, except there's dragons and wizards and stuff.
Hopefully I won this week. I'm on a losing streak. Oh, I played Raw, so did I? Okay, good. Yeah, it's a laughing matter.
Oh, good.
Ross comes in very confident.
And all I do is not win.
Wow.
That's the best name you've picked
at the bottom
so far.
With a 4-9.
Do you even try, Ross?
Do you even look at the... I try. I think, okay, how can I come up with a name that really encompasses...
Well, the name is great.
Yeah.
I meant on the other part.
You're listening to the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio in downtown Chicago.
720 WGN.
Good morning, 511 720 WGN, hour number one of the Steve Cochran Show for this Wednesday morning. It is the 9th of December. Welcome in. I'm Dave Ennett. Andre Darlis has the day off. Steve Cochran has the day off. I'm here by myself. Nobody else here. Just me.
Thanks, Dave.
Oh, Mary's
Dave,
here.
Dave, I'm here. Wow. I'm always
okay, okay
here
good. I'm glad yeah, you guys spoke up.
You.
I was
Ross
feeling
is here
a little bit. Forgotten, a little bit alone, oh, but I'm glad
Dave.
You guys are here. Mary's here. Kevin's here. Ross is here. Steve Alexander handling the business. Vic Vaughn up in the newsroom. He'll be filling in for Andrea, who was out late after watching the Blackhawks win last night. So she's taking a couple of days off. I'll be taking a couple of days off. Cochran's off all week. Brian Noonan will be in here at 5:30 all by himself by the rest of this week. But we're glad to have you along. Busy show this morning. Lots happening in the world. It's been such a busy time in news for the last few weeks, and it's showing no signs of slowing down. And also a busy night in the world of sports. We're going to hit some of the highlights for you. First of all, some of the stories that Vic in the newsroom is going to be keeping an eye on throughout the morning, along with the help of ABC News. And we'll keep you up to date on these stories throughout the morning. U.S. law enforcement officials now believe the Facebook posting that was posted by one of the attackers who killed 14 in San Bernardino last week was made on behalf of both the shooters. That was the message, "We Pledge Allegiance," was posted by Tashfeen Malik. She was the wife of Syed Farouk. Those two launched the attacks in San Bernardino on December the 2nd. Authorities are going through the couple's online history, going through evidence, interviewing friends, and looking at any possible connection and looking at all the evidence involving Farouk. And their Facebook pledge now has surfaced as part of this investigation and an indication that seems to confirm that they had been radicalized. So these are some of the pieces of evidence officials are looking at in California. I've heard the story the last few days about Jay Cutler's brother-in-law, the brother of Kristen Cavallari, who has gone missing in a remote area of Utah. And they are still searching. They found his car recently abandoned in southern Utah. It's been several days now. Yesterday, some 30 officers, along with dogs and drones, went out in a remote area south of Salt Lake City looking for Michael Cavallari, but they haven't found any sign of him. They still don't know why he was there, where he was going, what he was doing. However, there is a new suspicion that there had been an allegation that he had made threats a few days before his car was found in Utah, that there was an incident in Southern California, and that he, in fact, may have gone into hiding. So that's another piece of evidence that authorities are looking at now.
Was he a hiker or anything?
Not to anyone's knowledge, they are not sure why he was there. A former Illinois State Representative Connie Coward sentenced to 3 months in prison. Connie Howard, the Chicago Democrat, pleaded guilty in July 2013 to soliciting more than $70,000 for scholarships through a charity golf outing and pocketing about $28,000. After her release from prison, she will serve 3 months of home confinement. She's also been ordered to pay restitution to a couple of organizations, the Chicago Urban League and the Black United Fund. And Mayor Emanuel goes before the city council today on the subject of police misconduct. We will keep you posted on all of those stories. And in a moment, we will bring you the big news from the baseball winter meetings involving the Chicago Cubs, who stole the headlines there in Nashville last night. Right now at 5:15, let's hit the traffic hotspots for you, and here's Mary Vanderbilt. Five twenty, 720 WGN, hour number one of the Steve Cochran Show. I'm Dave Ennett. Big news last night from the Cubs. They were involved in a couple of deals at the winter meetings in Nashville. They sent veteran infielder, three-time All-Star Starlin Castro to the New York Yankees in exchange for right-handed pitcher Adam Warren and a player to be named later, expected to be infielder Brendan Ryan. And they signed free agent Ben Zobrist, versatile free agent, utility man, 4 years, $56 million. Zobrist played for Joe Maddon in Tampa Bay from 2006 to 2014. Last season, he split time between Oakland and Kansas City, so he got his World Series ring with the Royals last fall. He's played both infield and outfield. He can play second base. He's a versatile guy. He can bat near the top of the lineup. And here's what Cubs President of Baseball Operations Theo Epstein had to say about him last night.
He's incredibly versatile. He's exactly the type of offensive player that we're looking for, who grinds every pitch, works in the bat, makes a ton of contact, draws his walks, gets on base, runs the base as well. And versatile, can play all over the field. He's probably going to play a lot of second base for us, but can also move all around the infield and around the outfield as well. And I think he's a great fit somewhere up top. You know, it's Joe's call, obviously, but somewhere up top on this lineup in front of our power threats. It makes a lot of sense getting on the rest of this lineup.
That's Theo Epstein's talking to reporters last night in Nashville. So it gives Joe Maddon plenty of options and some more versatility added to this lineup. It's Starlin Castro. Hopefully he gets a clean start with the New York Yankees. He came on last year, played well in September, played well in the postseason. But
yeah, just when we kind of got him figured out.
Yeah. But
and on his way, and then we train him, and he's gone.
Yeah, that's how it works,
that
Mayor.
Sticks.
But, you know, he was a guy who was, quixotic, the word. He was baffling to Cubs fans. Quirky. At times he seemed disinterested.
Unsteady,
His mind seemed to wander.
Had some major blunders in the infield
but
as well.
But that was last year. More.
Well, but and he got better.
This year
he got better. And he accepted the move to second base and he embraced it,
yeah.
And that was all good.
He's a good team player.
Yeah, but again, the Cubs are trying to get better, and by adding Zobrist and also Javier Baez is still here. Now, 2 days earlier, it sounded like Baez might be the guy on the move. Now it sounds like he's going to be here. He and Zobrist will be playing second base.
Is he like a Coughlin, Zobrist? Can go anywhere, you know.
Well,
they're not getting rid of Coughlin, are they? I like
him. you want him around,
yes,
don't you?
I do.
Now, I think Zobrist is a guy who, as you just heard Theo say, he's mainly played second base, but he could play third base. He can play in the outfield. He's a contact guy.
Like
he's a switch hitter.
He can go anywhere.
Well, that's interesting because maybe they still look at playing Bryant more in the outfield, and they put him at second base, third base sometimes. So
they have a plan.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with him. The other big story, of course, Patrick Kane's streak goes on once again, thanks to an empty net goal late last night in the Blackhawks' win over the Nashville Predators 4-1 at the United Center. So the streak now at 23 games and counting. Once again, he waited till the last 2 minutes to extend the streak, longest in Blackhawks history, and he'll try to make it 24 tomorrow night when the Blackhawks play at Nashville.
So we were all asleep. We missed it.
You know, actually, I was trying so hard to stay awake.
What time was that?
It finally
happened.
Well, let's see. It was probably about 9:45.
Oh.
It was well past 9:30 when that took place.
Past our bedtime.
Night. I was trying. I couldn't quite make it. Right now, it's, of course, I'm sure Steve Alexander was up watching.
Nope.
And Steve's first look at business today is sponsored by...
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show, 720 WGN.
Good morning. It is, in fact, the Steve Cochran Show, but Steve is on vacation. He'll be back Monday. It's Brian Noonan in with you this week. A Wednesday edition of the Steve Cochran Show. Lot planned. We want you to get involved when you can. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number if you want to try to be Steve's first call. That's also the text number if you want to get a hold of us other ways on social media. It's Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter. Steve is on Facebook as well at Steve Cochran Show. So you can do all of that. We're going to talk to Cap in a little while in the next hour to get an update. Before we go any further, good morning, everybody. Nice to see Mary down here in the studio.
Hey, Brian.
Good to see you. And Dave and Steve and Vic is up in the newsroom taking over for Andrea today. Dave, somebody asked, and I know you were talking a lot about the Starlin Castro trade and Ben Zobrist coming to the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody texted in right after your report asking what this means for Addison Russell. Does it mean anything for Addison Russell?
I don't think it means anything except... Maybe he'll get, I would think, spelled at times by Javier Baez. I think it means more for Baez, who I think he and Zobrist will share time at second base is the way I would see it. But I don't think it affects Russell.
Other than guys needing a rest once in a while, is that a good platooning? Is that a good practice?
You know, it worked pretty well for the Cubs last year.
Yeah, that's true.
And I think it's the way Joe Maddon's mind works.
Well, and, that seems successful, so I'm not going to question Joe Maddon's
mindset. And he's got a
lot
of familiarity with this guy, too. I mean,
right.
they were together for a long time in Tampa, and I think he kind of looks at players as some basketball coaches look at players, which is, you know, you can take this guy, and they call him a three, but is he a four, or is he – maybe I'll play him at the two.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I almost think sometimes that – baseball managers, you know, they tend to pigeonhole guys into
right.
positions and say, well, we can't put him there because this is his position. We're going to keep him there.
Yeah.
And I think that Maddon tends to look bigger picture and say, well, I don't know why we couldn't try this guy out at third base.
Well, it definitely worked for Castro last year, moving from shortstop to second.
Moving to second.
Everything went great. So, you know, hopefully it'll work as they move things around. And you're right. You tend to – well. Baseball is, and just about any sport, once you start playing that position, that's your position.
Right.
And so, you know, coaches never look at anything different. When you're in grade school, high school, college, if you're a left guard, you're a left guard.
Mm-hmm.
And rarely do you see guys move around. Now, the Bears have done it a little bit on the O-line. They've had to move guys around. And as you said, Joe Maddon likes to do it a little bit. So we'll see what happens.
I don't see that there's really any downside to this. I know what Cubs fans are worried about. Starlin Castro is going to go to New York, and he's going to become the MVP in the American League.
Right.
Okay, if it does, great.
Right, that's because happened on every team.
Yeah, and it doesn't really mean that he would have done that
right.
had he stayed with the Cubs.
Yeah.
And
plus, we have a lot of MVPs ourselves.
Right. Are the Cubs going to be worse without Starlin Castro? I don't think so.
No, I mean he had a great end of last season, mm-hmm. but there's
enough
a lot of
doubt.
Guys who can fill.
There's enough doubt.
Yeah, do we have any entertainment though? Because he was entertaining.
He was in his walk up song. His walk up song.
His faces.
But think of all the
clown.
Think of all the times though that people were bemoaning his lack of focus on the field and his mistakes.
Right.
And we put so much money into this guy, and what's he doing? You know, last year he has a resurgence at the end of the season, but you balance it out. He's a good player, so
he was the senior guy on this team. How about that?
Do you think there's anything to that too? That he was the last remnant of the pre-Theo regime, and now he's kind of gone.
I don't think that's what prompted his departure. I think if he could, if this wasn't a fit for them, I think they wanted to add pitching, and I think they were able to do that. And Adam Warren. So, I mean, I don't think it had anything to do with the fact that he was a Jim Hendry guy, not a Theo Epstein,
right.
a Jed Hoyer guy. I just think that, look, it may be great for Castro. Yeah. He may go to New York and play for Joe Girardi and blossom into a much better, even though he's been to three All-Star games, blossom into an even better player there than he would have been for the Cubs.
Well, and it's not, it's nice, too, for the Cubs just on a financial level. You know, they freed up a lot of dough. And
well, they spent $56 million on Zobrist.
Right, but yeah, but they had it to spend, which was...
Yeah, that, right, you know, you're right.
Which was good. So. All right, well, that's Addison Russell is safe. Going back to the original, yeah.
No,
going
back to the Russell's original question. Star. He's not.
Right. He's not going.
He's
anywhere.
Not going anywhere.
People don't have to worry. There's they're like, oh, and somebody's texting in. This new guy is old. Yeah, Zobrist is better out of the
water. 34.
That's he might as well get a walker out there.
Experience.
Yeah, he's fine.
He won a World Series this year. I mean, he didn't do it by himself.
Dave,
but he
34
won a World
is
Series.
Old. You know that in the world of sports, you might as well put him in a home, get him some oatmeal and
baseball. You know,
oh, that comes
baseball. Yeah, they got a lot
rack
of
rack your body in baseball.
A lot of downtime in baseball.
You know, the Cubs have a bunch of guys who barely are old enough to drive.
Right.
So to have one guy who's 34, I don't think is really going to be a big setback.
No, you do. There's something to be said for a little bit of experience in the clubhouse.
That's exactly it.
Hey, it can't be a frat house all day. Sometimes we actually have to have.
Although that would be fun.
Well, yeah, sure. If you want to do panty raids and stuff with the all kind of things. Listen, all right, we're going to do Steve's first call in a minute, but first we must go over to Mary, who's got the traffic hotspots. Ryan Noonan in for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN, and it is time for Steve's first call of the day. Let's see who the big winner is today. It's Sharon, and she is in Buffalo Grove. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning. How are you?
I am dandy. How are you?
Good, great.
And what are you doing today, Sharon?
Well, today I have various activities. I'm actually up early every morning listening to WGN, and I love Steve Cochran and the whole program there, but I am excited because I thought you were, you know, going to be here all week, and so I wanted a chance to talk to you.
Oh, well,
and my big family is a big WGN listeners, and we just really enjoy the show, and today I'm actually going to a Bible class this morning and have some other activities. I'm writing Christmas cards and recently retired, so I'm doing a lot of those kinds of things. Nice. And I'm up early sometimes if they call me to sub or something like that.
What did you retire from?
Teaching.
Oh, very nice. What did you used to teach?
I taught for several years preschool at St. Peter Lutheran in Arlington Heights.
Oh, man, little kids. That you must have the patience of a saint, Sharon.
Well, I'm not sure about that, but I loved it, and just wonderful families and children.
Good deal. Well, because you are the first caller, you have won a truckload of valuable prizes. First of all, this I'm excited to give you because Dean Richards the other day gave this a Dean's List A pair of tickets to A Christmas Story at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. It's playing now through January 3rd. It's the story of 9-year-old Ralphie Parker. It comes to life in a full-blown feel-good family musical. You can get tickets at ParamountAurora.com, but you don't have to do that, Sharon, because I'm giving you a pair. We're also
thank you.
You're very welcome. We'll give you a Lightkeeper Pro, your complete tool for repairing your holiday light sets. You can see how it works and watch the video at LightkeeperPro.com. We'll also send you a $25 Lou Malnati's gift certificate. You can visit one of their 42 Chicagoland locations. And for more information, visit LouMalnati's.com. And as everybody gets who is the first caller of the day, a Chevy Drive Chicago.com and WGN Radio stainless steel travel mug, along with a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee, courtesy of your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers.
That's great. Thank you so much. One of our sons actually saw the play at Paramount, and they just loved it.
See?
Their young children saw it also, and they just loved it. So that's very exciting. And thank you for everything else. And we do drive a Chevy, one of our cars.
Perfect. There's a plug, Kevin. Pull that out, and we'll play it for the Chevy people. They'll be very happy. Well, thank you very much, Sharon. Congratulations on being our first call of the day.
Well, thank you, and it's great to talk to you, Brian.
Good talking to you, too. There you go. So there, yeah, ever since Dean reviewed that the other day, I was like, we have to give a pair of those tickets away. So
I want to see that, too, actually.
I do, too, now. And every year, we try to do a different holiday activity, whether it's go to a show or something. And some years, we go to a comedic show. Some years, we go to a traditional show. And we made our purchase already this year, but now I'm like, well, maybe we squeeze two in this year while our daughter.
Yeah, you should go. I hear it's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah. Are your kids still in college? Some are still in college.
I have one in college.
One. Is it finals time?
He's a sophomore. Yes. He's got a couple today, tomorrow. He's coming home tomorrow.
Is he? So is my daughter.
5 weeks he'll be home.
I know.
What the heck?
These
kids.
Luckily,
he got his job back, though.
Oh, did he really?
Summer job, yeah.
See, I don't know what my daughter's doing other than sleeping. You know? And I'm like, oh, are you going to do anything? Well, I'm going to see my friends and relax. But I was talking to her, and your son's probably the same way. I forget how stressful finals time is. for these kids. And she was talking about how she, the one she had last night, she had studied for like 12 hours and she was going to squeeze in another hour or so. And I don't think in my scholastic career I studied 12 hours total.
I don't think I did the 12-hour final thing either. And then when you have to study for two at the same time, or even three, some of these kids. A lot of them are done online now, though.
The finals are, really?
Yeah, my son had an online final. Then he
had,
you know, graded out of another one. He didn't have to take it because his grade was okay.
That's
good. So I was like, wow, that kills two of them.
Yeah, I think out of her five classes, she only had three finals.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, you know. Yeah.
Maybe she had an online one.
Could be. I was going to say I don't pay attention, but I do pay attention, and she tells me.
Yeah,
but
we try not to.
Well, at a certain point, I'm like, okay, you've been talking about this test for 20 minutes. I get it. It's stressful, but talking to me about it, well, maybe talking to me about it does help her.
Yeah, and plus she's a girl. She talks more.
She does.
I don't get anything out of my son except a couple grunts.
Yeah, see, and I, with four brothers, I don't think in total I talked to my parents about my classes 20 minutes through 4 years of college.
Yeah. Well, we could only call them once, remember, on the phone? Because it was expensive.
There was no cell phones, and you had to be in the dorm.
Sunday nights.
No Sunday text. Nights, exactly.
Yep,
Sunday nights when the rates went down.
Yeah.
And you'd go, and why did you call me Sunday night? I don't know. I was out.
There's
no cell phones.
You don't talk to me Sunday.
You either had to use that little dorm phone, or you had to go to the student center and use a pay phone. Steve had to send carrier pigeons. It was a horrible, horrible time.
Smoke signals worked.
Did they really? Mm-hmm. Now, you strike me as a guy who would have done the all-nighters. You're a conscientious student who worked hard. Am I off?
Way
off. Okay,
off.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. It seems like we all are in the same boat, except for Dave, because he was at Northwestern.
Yes.
You know they have to study very hard.
Oh, but I pulled all-nighters.
Did you?
Okay. I remember I took a film history course my freshman year, and our final paper, you had to pick a genre of film and write about it.
Okay.
So I took the L down to the loop early in the morning, and I went, and my genre was disaster film. So I went to like the, and this was when all the movie theaters down in the loop all ran movies all day.
Oh, right, yeah.
So I went.
Let me guess.
I went,
what? Poseidon Adventure.
Poseidon Adventure was one of them. Mary, you're exactly right. Airport 75
was
one of them. Yeah. And then
there was no Twister movie. Oh, Inferno. Towering Inferno.
Towering Inferno might have been in that paper also. So, but you couldn't get a DVD.
No.
You had to go to the movie theater.
Right.
And then I got on the L, went back up, got the dorm coffee maker and popcorn maker, set it up in my room, and I stayed up all night writing the paper, and I aced it.
Did you have to type them, or were you able to handwrite papers? Because I was still able to handwrite some of the stuff when I was in school.
Had to type it.
Type it, yeah. Those were the days when every kid had a typewriter, or you found the one or two kids in the dorm that would type the papers.
Yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you would
type
for people?
Well, I was a fast typer, but I didn't get paid, though. I was doing it to be nice. Could you believe it?
No.
Yeah, that's
well,
kind of
out of context.
Dumb of me.
Mary was just doing it to be nice.
The problem was when you had a paper due and your typewriter ran out of ink.
Yes.
And it isn't like you could go to Walgreens and buy a new ribbon.
Or the corrector ribbon?
Right. Or you'd try to flip the old ribbon to see if you could get ink from the other side half your letter was dark.
You'd spool it, right? You'd spool it to the end.
And right now people are listening going, what are they talking about?
Kevin's like, what?
A ribbon?
These people
typewriter.
Are old.
Well, and you guys, and not to be the old guys in the room, but I remember kids in my dorm taking the computer class and coming back with like huge boxes of punch cards because computer lab took up a room this size, you know. So it's like, now my daughter would be like, "What? I can't just call you from wherever I am and you know plug into a network and do my paper? No, you actually had to sit somewhere and
Google
do it.
All about the movies that Dave had to go actually see.
Google about the movies. Dave had to sit in some sticky theater in the loop with the who knows who in the middle of the day.
And then we'd go to the library.
What? Library?
What? I know.
A library? I don't even know what that means. Well, all right, listen, we got things to do. Vic's waiting to do the news, and people got things to do. So let's do this, and then it'll be news time. And the next hour, we'll talk to Cap and Karen Conti, and we got a lot to do this morning on 720 WGN.
I would like to hear him, acknowledge that this is a really bad situation, to apologize to the community or in the city of Chicago.
What I am very supportive of is a thorough, comprehensive investigation of the issues in public safety.
You want respect? You got to get it. As one young man said to me, "You think a police officer would treat you the way they treat me?" And the honest answer is no. And that's wrong.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Ryan Noonan in for Steve Cochran on WGN. Steve will be back with you on Monday. We are live in the frigid Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan. I think it's warmer outside than it is here in the Allstate Showcase studio.
It is absolutely warmer outside.
Poor Mary has started a little bonfire.
Yeah, I'm going back upstairs. I'll see you later.
Dave's got his parka on.
Here's the irony. We have a fireplace in here.
Yes.
Yes, but it's clogged with Santa's groin, so right. we can't really fire it up. No. Santa's always hanging out down there.
Anyway, boiler room, answer your phone. Give us some heat.
And anybody who works at an office has this problem. You know, it's always either too hot or too cold. And Mary was calling down. She said, you know what? Maybe if we mention it on the air, the boiler room will actually pay attention to us.
I got it. They're out of coal. It's Christmas time.
Burn the old
Santa's
newspapers.
Giving the coal to all the bad kids, so there's not enough coal.
Is that we're still burning coal downstairs?
Yeah, I think we are. Called the boiler room. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I picture like the hull of the Titanic with shirtless guys shoveling coal.
They have. I believe I'm correct on this. They have railroad tracks which go in like under the building where they bring in the coal.
Maybe they left those doors open.
And the newsprint came in on
that's right, and the trains too.
Yeah.
Well, why don't we go down there? We should have a field trip.
Let's take the care. We can periscope.
I'm not going down there.
Go down. Yeah, let's have an expedition. Dave, you can stay up here in the safety of the Allstate Showcase studio.
Thanks.
Mary and I will put on miners' helmets, and Steve can narrate it, and we'll go down there. It'll be like a National Geographic special.
Check out those stalactites and stalagmites.
Yeah, I don't know. The deeper you go in this building, I don't know what would be living down there amongst the old railroad tracks and the
big rats.
Yeah, I saw it. And we got to get to some other stuff. But I was coming across the Lower Michigan Bridge today, coming into work. Two giant rats.
No.
Just hanging out.
Oh, at this time of day?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see them every morning.
Oh, my goodness. So
Good morning.
Well, that's one other thing the city gets to worry about. You know, today the mayor is going in front of the city council to talk about police misconduct. Yesterday, two more police officers went on trial for alleged misconduct. A police commander went on trial yesterday. Glenn Evans is his name. He was a 22nd district commander before he was charged and placed on desk duty. He is alleged to have chased Ricky Williams into an abandoned Southside building, shoved the barrel of his service weapon deep down Williams' throat. Deep down is the quote in the trib, and held a taser to his groin and threatened to kill him. So that's one. And then another officer, William Zura, is going on a civil suit against him for a road rage incident on the Stevenson after the Pride Parade in a few years ago, where he hurled anti-gay comments and expletives at three young women. So they are suing him. He is in court. It's another banner day, unfortunately, for the Chicago Police Department. We'll see what the mayor has to say when he goes in front of the city council. He's going to deliver a speech on Chicago's woeful police misconduct record to the city council, who you think should have been watching over this for a while, but, you know, since they've approved hundreds of millions of dollars in settlements for victims of police brutality, and they haven't really done anything to ask for change. They'll, you know, it's better to just give out the money and then later be able to say, well, we didn't really know what we were giving that money for. You know, if you listen to some of the aldermen after, you know, the video of the McDonald's shooting came out, they're like, yeah, we okayed that $5 million settlement, but we didn't really have all the details. Well, what does that make you think? If your aldermen are giving away money without knowing why, where can we get in line to get some of that city money? You know, you would hope that they would have to actually, I don't know, ask questions, get the facts. Oh, we're paying $5 million, what for? Ah, there's some video, but don't worry about it. Just cut the check. Okay. So we'll see what the mayor has to say, and if he flips the script again like he has over the last few weeks as he's been doing his 180s and backflips on all the issues that he's been talking about. All right, a big concern for a lot of Cubs fans is the Starlin Castro trade, the acquisition of Ben Zobrist, and another big sports concern, I think Dave would agree, the lack of killer instinct by the Bulls in the fourth quarter. They seem to just, we'll play three quarters. That fourth one that's hard. Play a full game.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's a lot. It becomes a long day.
Yeah, so we will talk to David Kaplan about that on the other side. And I have it on good authority that the stump the cap question for today, he will definitely definitely miss it. That's what I have. But we'll let the listener decide. They get to either vote for or against Cap. We'll talk to Cap on the other side. It's 720 WGN.
Ridiculous.
What's going on there, Buttercup? What's going on there, Cowboy? Sparky, Cowboy. Sparky, Cowboy. Dog. What's going on there, Sparkles? Romeo. Dog. Buttercup. Romeo. Buttercup.
Now, your Chevy dealer at ChevyDriveChicago.com present Cap's Corner with David Kaplan.
Chevy Dealers Cap's Corner is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com, and now the man who has done more for nicknames than anybody in the history of broadcasting, David Kaplan. Morning, Cap. How are you?
Good morning, Brian. How you doing, bud?
I am dandy. So big news again. The Cubs making headlines, sending Starlin Castro to the Yankees.
Yeah, he goes on the move for Adam Warren and Brendan Ryan, and people out there who I've been all over Twitter late last night, people saying that's all they could get. The value for Starlin wasn't what some people thought that it would be. Plus, you got the Yankees to take all remaining $38 million on the deal, and you got a really good pitcher in Adam Warren who can start or relieve. And then Ryan is just a journeyman backup type player, but gives you some utility flexibility. And then, you know, you take that savings from Starlin, add a little to it, and you've got Ben Zobrist at second. And the other question people have is, wait, you're getting a 34, almost 35-year-old second baseman as opposed to someone 10 years younger who's a three-time All-Star. Ben Zobrist has, I believe I got this right, since 2010, only four position players in baseball have a higher WAR, which is wins above replacement, right, than Ben Zobrist. He's a quality player. He can play multiple positions. He's got a high on-base percentage. He's got a little bit of pop, averages about 17 home runs a season. So bringing him in has changed the dynamic of the lineup because you have a guy that doesn't strike out a lot. So they've been able to bring him in. They've been able to add Lackey, and they're going to continue to make moves. They're not done by a long stretch.
Cap, you mentioned that Warren can go either as a starter or a reliever. People are asking, do you have a little more information on him?
Yeah, he pitched 45 games last year, 17 starts. He's got really good stuff. He's not going to blow you away at the top of the strike zone at 98, but he sits real nice, 93. He's got good breaking stuff. His stuff played very well in the American League East, which is always a tough division, and he should come in here and be able to give Joe Maddon another really good arm out of the bullpen. And, you know, depending on what other moves you make, he could give you be a depth starter. So you've got at the top of that rotation Arrieta, Lester, Lackey, and then you have a handful of guys now for 4 and 5 if they don't make another move. And I still think they're trying to go out and trade for a young, controllable starter, maybe with Cleveland. So we'll see what happens.
But you've still got Kyle Hendricks in that mix. You've still got Jason Hammel.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, I mean, they've got some options here. And if Warren is the guy that, you know, maybe can step in there and be a starter for him, then all they've done is strengthen their rotation. I don't see any downside to this, Cap. I really don't. I know what Cubs fans are worried about. We were talking about this last half hour. Starlin Castro is going to go to New York. Joe Girardi is going to mold him into an MVP. And, you know, if that happens, great. I don't know that that would happen. But even if it did, it doesn't affect the Cubs now, because there's no guarantee it would have happened here anyway.
Look, Starlin is a really good guy to deal with. He was well-liked in the clubhouse. But here's my problem with Starlin. When you evaluate a player, I want someone to give me one quality that Starlin has that you go, that's elite. You know, if you look at a guy like Javi Baez, he has elite power. Now, does that mean he's going to become a 40-home run man in the big leagues? No, he's got to prove that. You got elite glove work from Addison Russell, elite, and he's also a pretty good hitter. But Starlin doesn't hit for power, doesn't run well, isn't an elite defender. He strings together some base hits, but there is really no quality of his game. He strikes out more than you'd like, doesn't have a high on-base percentage. So he's got a nice all-around game. He's a good player. But I can promise you, he's not going to New York and becoming the MVP.
Well, and as I pointed out earlier, Cap, except for the last month after he made the switch to second, all people were criticizing him about was his lack of focus. He'd take plays off. He was out there missing routine plays. And now all of a sudden that he's been traded, oh, my God, he's the second coming.
Correct. And, you know, people see that he's a younger guy. He's piled up almost 1,000 hits. Yeah, he definitely has had some years where he's piled up a lot of hits. But again, he doesn't have a quality in his game that screams, oh, my God, you cannot trade that. Every quality that Starlin has can be replaced, and I think they've done that so far.
Isn't it amazing that Anthony Rizzo now is the senior member of this team?
Yeah, in terms of the position player types that start, yep, you're correct. I mean, they've got older guys either as backups or as pitchers.
I mean, in terms of time with the Cubs.
Oh, in terms of times with the Cubs, absolutely. They have completely turned the roster over. Yeah.
All right, now, Cap, I know you've been dreading this, hoping that we would keep talking about Starlin Castro in an effort to miss the stump cap question, but no, that is not the case. Let's see who we've got on the line, the listener who is going to see if he can stump Cap. Sam is hanging on. Hi, Sam.
Hi, how you doing?
We're doing well. So do you think Cap is going to get – Dave Ennett is asking the question today. I don't know if that is going to change your vote or not. But Dave is asking Cap the question, will he stump Cap or not?
No, he will not.
He will not?
Get it right.
All right, a lot of faith. Hold on, Sam. A lot of faith in you, Cap.
Sam, you might be right here, but it's a two-parter, Cap. Ooh. I'm confident you're going to get part of it. All right, here we go. Mm-hmm. New Cub, Ben Zobrist. What is his nickname?
Wow, what is Ben Zobrist's nickname?
It was given to him by Joe Madden.
And you're the nickname guy, Cap.
I am the nickname guy.
That's why I went with this.
Should I ask Siri on my cell phone right now?
Yeah, go ahead, just for laughs.
Phone a friend.
Yeah.
See what you can do.
Well, wait a second here. Let me grab my...
Well, now I think Cap's in bed in his soap boxers. As he's like, oh, hold on.
I'm actually sitting in the kitchen. Hey, Siri, what is Ben Zobrist's nickname? Siri has no idea.
We stumped Siri.
On the web for I'm actually sitting in the kitchen. Nice. Well, Siri has betrayed you as well, Cap.
Siri betrayed me very well.
All right.
Hey. I'm not sure I understand.
Us
no,
either.
I'm not sure I do either.
We need a guess, Mr. Kaplan.
Yes.
I am going to say Ben Zobrist's nickname is BZ.
Oh. The correct answer is?
Zorilla.
Oh,
Zorilla. Zorilla. Oh. However, if you think that Zorilla is kind of a connotation of gorilla,
correct,
it's not. There is an animal known as the Zorilla.
Really?
Jerry, what is Ben Zobrist's nickname?
He's still desperate now trying
Here's
to get Siri to help him.
On the web for Ben Zobrist's nickname.
Oh. Siri.
Well, she actually brought Ben Zobrist's Wikipedia up, but no nickname.
Okay.
So part two of the question.
Is what is a Zorilla?
What is a Zorilla? Go for half
Go ahead.
Credit.
Ask Siri.
Half credit. Yeah, you can ask Siri, Cap. What is a Zorilla?
What is a Zorilla?
Oh, Siri, now. You can see the smoke coming out of Cap's phone.
Mm-hmm. No, there's nothing there.
It's an African polecat.
Go Cats, go Cats.
Of course
go
it
cat.
Would be.
Exactly.
All right, well, All right. Unfortunately for Sam, Cap was stumped. That's 2 days in a row now you've been stumped, Cap.
But let's give Sam the prizes anyway.
All right, we'll give Sam some prizes anyway.
Will.
Kevin, you got any prizes for Sam?
We do. How about some Lou Malnati's? We'll send him a Lou Malnati's gift card. Also, a gift card to Sweet Alley's Gluten-Free Bakery, offering a variety of sweet, savory, and special occasion baked goods, sweetalleys.com, and a Lightkeeper Pro. Watch the video at lightkeeperpro.com.
But don't send Siri anything.
Siri gets nothing.
Nothing.
Siri gets nothing. Siri should get deleted from your phone, Cap. She was no help to you today.
Yeah, not at all.
Not at all. What do you got going on later today?
I will be on ESPN Radio AM1000 at noon today, and then TV we go early, 5 to 5:30, leading into Chicago Bulls basketball.
Any big names?
What do we have big name-wise today? I think we have Mark Schanowski and Will Perdue will be joining us.
Very nice. All right, well, have a wonderful day. We will talk to you again very soon.
You got it. Have a good day, boys.
Take care. Ya. That's David Kaplan. You can follow him on Twitter at TheCapMan. And Chevy Dealers Caps Corner is sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. News next on 720 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Brian Noonan on the Steve Cochran Show. Steve will be back on Monday. And this is very strange for me. Normally, when I talk to my lawyer, it's either in a jail cell or it's on Sunday nights. Karen Conti joins us now on WGN. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Brian. It's so early to talk to you.
I know. Usually we're here. It looks about the same outside when we talk on Sunday nights. It's still dark. But, yeah, this is a whole different time slot. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, gearing up for a big day in the law.
Yes, there's, a lot going on in this city when it comes to the law. The biggest story of the week is the Justice Department coming in and opening their civil rights investigation. We've heard a lot about it. We heard from Attorney General Loretta Lynch the other day. We've heard from the mayor, who now says he welcomes it. For the layman, what does this investigation mean?
Well, I think it's a good thing. I think what they're going to do, and they've done this in different communities, they go in and they look and they see whether or not the police have been conducting themselves properly. They're going to look probably at the organization that monitors police to see if they've been monitoring the police appropriately. They're probably going to look at a sampling of cases. They're probably going to be interviewing people. They're going to be reviewing a wrongful conviction lawsuits and claims of police brutality. This is a big scope. This is going to be a big deal, and I don't think it's going to be anything that's resolved very quickly as a result.
And when you've got the federal government coming in to do an investigation, how does that reflect on, like, the state's attorney, Anita Alvarez, who's under fire anyway for people calling for her to step down based on the amount of time it took in the Laquan McDonald case? Does it make the locals look bad when the feds have to come in?
Well, I think it does. But again, you know, if she plays this right, you know, she's going to say, I welcome this. You know, everyone plays a piece in this whole puzzle. The police have to do certain things, and then the prosecutors take over after that. And I think there's a lot of finger-pointing, because the police are saying, we did what we're supposed to do. If the state's attorney doesn't prosecute it properly, we have nothing to do with it. And the police organization that monitors us is completely independent, so we don't have any control over that. That's run by the city of Chicago. So then we have Mayor Emanuel getting involved in that. So I think this is good, because we now have a father figure, if you will, looking over all of these different children in the system, and are going to decide if somebody's at fault, and if so, how are we going to fix it?
So these policies and practices investigations, which is what they were calling it the other day, they've happened in other cities. Have the outcome made significant changes in those cities, and do you think that it can make some changes here?
I haven't seen a lot of direct changes because of these investigations, but usually they're going to issue a report, and the report is going to have detailed findings and detailed propositions for future corrections, maybe the implementation of different kinds of training and race-related training and training with tasers or whatever it is that they think is necessary. And, you know, they have a lot of experience in these things, so they're probably not going to start from the beginning here. But the answer to your question is, I guess I really haven't seen any changes specifically relating to a federal probe.
Now, these things, they're saying this could take a year, it could take longer. What sets up a timetable for these kind of investigations? Why can some go a little quicker, some take longer? Is it just the size of the, you know, Chicago's much bigger than, say, Ferguson? Is that the main component of the timetable?
Yeah, and again, we have a lot of moving pieces, and we've got a lot of people that have to be interviewed. I think this is going to take a long time. I mean, if it took 14 months or 13 months to prosecute someone, you know, then it's going to take, I think it's going to take 2 years to do this kind of thing. And in the meantime, there's probably going to be changes implemented anyway. I don't think that this is going to be an immediate fix for anything.
Talking with Karen Conti. She joins me on Sunday nights. She also joins Steve every week at 6:40 right here on WGN. All right, let's take a quick break, Karen, because Mary's very anxious. She wants to do the traffic. But there was a legal fight in Texas over refugees that has just been put to bed, and there's some other police going on. It started on trial yesterday, so a lot going on in the city. We'll talk more with Karen Conti on the other side. It's 720 WGN. Let's check with Mary on the traffic hotspots. It's the Steve Cochran Show on WGN. I'm Brian Noonan in for Steve. And as she does every Wednesday morning, Karen Conti is visiting us. And Karen's visit is sponsored by Chicago Title Land and Trust Company. Welcome back, Karen. Are you wide awake, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed at this hour?
I am on coffee cup number 2.
Excellent. Good. Then maybe you can answer this text question. We were talking about the civil rights, the Department of Justice investigation that's starting up, and somebody wanted to know the possible impact of a federal consent order that may result from the DOJ probe.
Federal consent order is certainly something that it can issue, and it's
what is that for those of us who don't know? What is a federal consent order?
It's interesting. It's an order. So it's of, you know, legal significance, meaning that it has to be followed. But it's a decree that says that the police has to operate in the following ways, and usually it's very specific. You have to hire more people in this department. You have to have sensitivity training in this manner, and it's a lengthy court order that the Chicago police would have to stay in compliance with. We had one of these for years in Chicago when it comes to hiring. The decrees that said that, you know, by hiring has to be done in a neutral way and it can't be done with patronage. And that decree lasted for years and years and years. Housing decrees happen where they say, you know, housing has to be fair and you have to do it in a certain way. And it stays in place. Basically, it's an order that stays in place until someone decide not to have it in place. And it can really cause the city of Chicago to be under federal guidance, if you will, and under federal court order for a lengthy period of time. And your listener is right. That could very well result from what the DOJ is doing here.
Do these types of investigations always result in a federal consent order, or is that just
no.
in certain cases?
No, not at all. If the Department of Justice sees that things are going normally and this is just a result of an unusual bunch of events, no, it doesn't always. But it could very well, and I have a feeling there might be some decree that results relating, probably my guess would be to training, you know, to train the officers better in taser and in pepper spray and some of the things before they use their weapons, and maybe even some racial sensitivity training and things like that. That would be my guess is where they're going to end up on this.
All right. A lot of talk recently about Syrian refugees and whether the United States should accept Syrian refugees. A number of them had gone to Texas. Texas filed suit against the federal government and a resettlement agency to try to stop an influx of Syrian refugees. There were going to be not too many of them at this on this suit, but the suit was dropped on Friday. I didn't know you could sue the federal government, but Texas obviously did. What do you know about this lawsuit?
Well, I don't know why it was dropped, but generally speaking, when it comes to issues relating to immigration, that is in the purview only of the federal government. So the state of Texas can't say, I don't want to accept these people in, because once they're in this country legally, the states don't have any authority with regard to immigration. People can walk across state lines without any restrictions whatsoever. There's also a law that says from about 1980, it's a Refugee Act, that gives the president the complete authority to accept immigrants who might be persecuted because of race or religion or nationality, which is clearly what Obama did. So what Obama did by letting them in is completely legal. And by Texas saying we're not going to let you in, that's illegal. So I think maybe they knew which way the wind was blowing and they just dropped the suit.
Yeah, they say the suit is still the lawsuit remains pending and a judge could hear arguments about the case. But it was over 12 refugees, six of whom were children that were going to come in. But so they can they can reopen this if a suit's still pending. Who decides then to pursue it? Would Texas, since they were the ones who filed it in the first place?
Yeah, they would. And it's hard to tell from the media accounts what the status of the lawsuit is. So it looks like they backed down, but I don't know if they can bring it again. I just assume that when they say they backed down, that means the judge probably said, you're going nowhere with us. So, you know, we're going to let these people in. And I assume that's what happened here.
We've got another text question regarding the Department of Justice investigation. Can the Justice Department bring about charges or punishment for the officers who falsified and lied on their official reports? And that was a question that came out a number of times during the press conference the other day.
Yeah, my guess would be that they wouldn't have the direct authority to do that themselves. They might recommend prosecution for certain cases. My guess would be, and again, there's probably a written order that says what are the parameters of this investigation. And my guess would be they're looking at global changes. They're not looking at specific cases of an officer doing something wrong, although they'll be looking at those things. I don't think that their report is going to be that specific as to definite people that should be prosecuted. This is a bigger global issue that has to do with the interaction between all these agencies, training, sensitivity, racial issues. I mean, it's much bigger than specific arrests.
All right. So, and again, like you said, that seems very specific when they say that this investigation is for policies and practices, which would be the overall operating procedures of the department.
Right.
The actions of one or two, you know, or a handful of officers.
Right. I could be wrong on that, my guess is that this is a much bigger picture than the individuals here.
Listen, you are never wrong about anything. We know that. If I've learned anything from our Sunday nights together, you are rarely wrong. I'll say never. I'll go never.
But it's what I keep telling you.
I know. Listen, and I pay attention. You keep telling me you're never wrong, and you know, I'll say, okay, you're the lawyer. I'm not going to worry about it. Two policemen went on trial yesterday. A lot of police going on trial. One at the criminal courts, the Dirksen courthouse. One at 26 in California. It's not a good time to be a police officer in this city.
No, it isn't. It isn't. And the one that we're talking about, I think this is the one where the cop put his gun supposedly in the mouth of a person he was arresting. They found the DNA on the gun, so there was some evidence that that's what happened. This guy had a lot of complaints in the past. I think he was African-American, so is the victim, so we don't have that.
Right, there's no racial content. Glenn Evans is his name. He was a former district commander, and Ricky Williams is the alleged victim in this. So, yeah, that's going on. And then you've got the other officer at the Dirksen Federal Courthouse going on trial for alleged physical abuse and anti-gay slurs thrown at three women after he was driving home on the expressway. So a lot going on. What's the difference between and I should probably know this, Dirksen is the federal court and 26 in California is state court?
Right. The Dirksen Federal Building will be hearing probably a civil rights action. So that's under our federal law, you can't violate someone's civil rights based on the Constitution. So that's why that case is in federal court. The one that's in the 26th and California court building is a state case against a cop for excessive force assault. So those are two separate courthouses that do two separate things, but really very, very similar. Interestingly, you said something about it's bad to be a cop in this day and age. And what's interesting about the case pending at 26th in California is that rather than having a jury, the lawyer chose to have a bench trial. And the judge who's sitting is a former prosecutor, and she's pretty pro-prosecution. When I go in front of her,
okay.
I think she's pro-prosecution. Hmm. She's a good judge. She's a very good judge. Everyone respects her. But it's interesting that they chose that, and I'm sure they did because of this climate. You know, you don't want to get people on a jury right now who are angry or opinionated about these things because they're going to take it out on your defendant. So she will be making that decision.
Well, and I was going to ask you about that because that was a point in the Tribune article that said most police officers who go on trial opt for a bench verdict rather than a jury trial. And that's got to be to battle that public perception or the fact that even though somebody could get on a jury and not say they have issues with the police, there's always a chance that some of the jury members are going to be anti-police no matter what.
And there is a thought, whether it's true or not, that judges come to the table with more emphasis put on reasonable doubt and that judges understand what it means to have proof beyond a reasonable doubt, and jurors are less likely to weigh that in and more likely to bring their prejudices to the table and say, cops in my neighborhood always harass young people, or cops are great people and those kids deserve to be shot. So people come with very strong feelings that sometimes it's hard to set aside. They can say it. They'll say, I'll be fair.
Sure.
I'll put my prejudices aside. But a lot of times it's really difficult to do it, especially when you're living in the community and you have those strong feelings. So, you know, I think judges tend to probably be a little bit more pro-police tend to, but not always. But there's also pressure on them publicly, because when they exonerate somebody, they always come under pressure, and of course they're always up for re-election. So there's that kind of pressure as well.
How can people get a hold of you if they have a question?
Call me at 312-332-7800, or better yet, email me at kconti@kcontilaw.com.
Always good talking to you, Karen. Thanks for getting up early.
All right, Brian. Happy holidays, everyone.
You too. Happy holidays. Karen's appearance sponsored by Chicago Title Land Trust Company. The news next on WGN. It's Brian Noonan for Steve Cochran on 720 WGN. The Allstate Showcase studio has been overrun by a group of teens in matching scarves and hats. They are not here because I am the latest pop sensation. They are here because they are the Vernon Hills High School Choir. We are happy to have them. Say hello, teens.
Hi.
There we go. Look at that. They follow directions very well. It must be due to good leadership. The choir director for Vernon Hills High School, Jeremy Little, is here. He has brought this group in, which he described as a motley crew. I will disagree. They all look bright-eyed. They all look well-dressed. The matching scarves and hats are wonderful. Thanks for coming in today.
Well, thank you for having us.
So how long has the Vernon Hills music program been in existence?
The school started in 1999,
okay.
And we've had a music program ever since. I got there in 2007, and I've had the pleasure of working with these guys for, some of you guys since freshman year. So they are the auditioned group, the most talented, we take a lot of time, so we spend a lot of time at the school and caroling, but it's a privilege and a pleasure to be with them, even at leaving school at 5:15 in the morning.
Well, they all made it. It looks like they all made it on time. Were there any? Who was the straggler? Who was the last one to get on the bus?
Who was that?
They're all looking at each
it
other.
It was Ray.
Me. Oh, Ray? What's up, Ray?
But he's got the best hair.
He does.
Ray is Ray is coiffed to perfection.
Yeah. It took a little
Nicely
bit probably
done.
To get that hair all.
Well, then you excuse a guy for being a couple minutes late. If he's looking that good, if he's on point with his hair, then you got to just say, all right, Ray.
He can teach me a thing or two.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah, amen.
So you said this is the auditioned group. A lot of schools have different levels of choir because you want to include as many kids as possible. What's the criteria for making this this ensemble?
Well, everybody here has to participate in another choir. These are all juniors and seniors, so they've been in other ensembles for 2 or 3 years.
Okay.
They have to read music real well. They have to be put time in their schedule, and they have to be committed to growing and to making better music. And I think we do that pretty well. So,
well, when you say commitment, a lot of people think sports teams, but any sort of musical program, you've got that kind of commitment. How much are these kids practicing every week?
Well, we have one in their other class. They do for our concert choir. We do 50 minutes a day, and then right after that, these guys do an additional 25 minutes a day. Then in the fall, we have one evening a week for 2 hours practice, and then in December, we have maybe 15 or 20 different engagements that we do throughout the community at homeless shelters, or we just had our Madrigal dinner that was sold out, and we have a holiday concert coming up in a little bit. So
on Tuesday? Is that the show on Tuesday?
This next week on Tuesday.
Very nice. All right. Jeremy Little is the choir director at Vernon Hills High School. The Vernon Hills Choir is here. They are ready to go, but I'm going to make them wait for a couple minutes because I know how impatient teens can be, and I like to see them get all fidgety. We'll hear from the Vernon Hills High School Choir on the other side. Right now, though, we have to check traffic hotspots with Mary. All right. I've been making the students from Vernon Hills High School and their choir wait patiently, and they've been doing quite a good job. Jeremy Little, who is the choir director, they've been hanging on. They're tuning up. What are we going to hear from them?
This is the standard carol, The First Noel, expertly arranged by Alice Parker and Robert Shaw.
All right, take it away.
The First Noel the angel did say was to certain poor shepherds in fields where they on a cold winter's night that was so deep. Noel, 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 born is the King of Israel.
May the
Wonderful job. Very nice. Very nice. You trained them well, Jeremy.
Thank you.
You got something else?
Yes.
Let's keep going. Yeah, they didn't come all the way down to do one wonderful song.
Sure. This next song is called, what it should be called? Jingle Bells. That's what it should be called. So here it is, Jingle Bells, Zach.
Jingle bells, dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way. Bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. Oh, what fun it is to sing a sleighing song tonight.
Tonight, oh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. What fun it is to ride a one-horse open sleigh. A day or two ago, I thought I'd take a ride, and soon Miss Fanny Bright was seated by my side. The horse was lean and lame, misfortune seemed his lot. We got into a drifted bank, and then we got upset.
Wow. Nice job. Nice job. And Jeremy, I noticed the young people in the choir pay so much attention to you. I wonder when they go home, how many of them pay that much attention to their parents? They're watching you every move. Their eyes are wide. What's he going to have us do?
Some of them say that I spend more time with them than their parents.
I would imagine. And the results show, very nice job. How many seniors in the group? Raise your hand if you're senior. Wow, a lot of seniors in this choir. Very nice. How many of you think you're going to follow music as you go into college? A couple of you? The rest always going to keep singing. This is a talented group. Some people are being chastised by other members of the choir. What? You're not going to? That is unconscionable. We have time for another one, Jeremy. You
sure.
Got something else?
This is called Christmas is Coming.
Oh, very good. It's the Vernon Hills High School Choir.
Christmas is coming. The geese are getting fat. Please do put a penny in the old man's hat. Christmas is coming, the geese are getting fat. Please do put a penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny'll do, a halfpenny'll do, a halfpenny'll do.
But a penny's better, a penny or two are better.
Two, the geese are getting fat. Please do put a penny in the old man's hat. If you haven't got a penny, a halfpenny'll do. If you haven't got a halfpenny, a farthing'll do. If you haven't got a farthing, God bless you. God bless the master of this house, likewise the mistress too, and all the little children that round the table brought. Love and joy come to you, and to you your wassail too, and we wish you a happy new year, and we wish you a happy new year. Love and joy come to you, and to you your wassail too, and we wish you a happy new year. And we wish you a happy new year.
Nice job. Wow. Wow. Very nice. Do you have a short? We've got time. I'm getting the word. We want to squeeze in one more short one. Do you have a short one for us, Jeremy?
Sure. This is called Caroling, Caroling.
Very nice.
Caroling, caroling, now we go, Christmas bells are ringing. caroling, caroling through the snow. Christmas bells are ringing, joyous voices sweet and clear. Sing the sad of heart to cheer. Ding dong, ding dong, Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling through the town, Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling up and down, Christmas bells are ringing. Marking well the song we sing, gladsome tidings now we bring. Ding dong, ding dong, Christmas bells are ringing. Caroling, caroling near and far, Christmas bells are ringing. Following, following yonder star, Christmas bells are ringing. Sing we all this happy morn, lo, the King of Heaven's born. Ding dong, ding dong, Christmas bells are ringing.
Fantastic great. Job. That is the Vernon Hills High School Choir. A lot of texts coming in saying how great you guys sound. One says, I'm a conductor from a local choir in Chicago. Please tell the Vernon Hills Choir that they are excellent. And I will echo that. You guys did a wonderful job this morning. Make sure Mr. Little buys you breakfast on the home. All the way back to Vernon Hills. And help yourself to a lot of candy. That's how we repay you, with a lot of candy to get you all jacked up for second period by the time you get back. So, Jeremy, thanks very much for coming in. Guys, you sounded terrific. Thanks for coming in this morning. It was wonderful.
Thank you.
Happy holidays. Enjoy. Now, how many classes do you get to miss this morning? None. That's right. Get back to work. We got to keep the young people driven. That's what we do, Jeremy. Keep their nose to the grindstone.
Hey, thank you very much for having us. Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to all of you. Thanks again. We've got news next on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
It is the Steve Cochran Show. I'm Brian Noonan in for Steve this week. Steve will be back with you on Monday morning. Our thanks again to the Vernon Hills High School Choir. That was a talented group of young people there, Dave.
Boy, a talented group of very... very nice,
yeah.
Polite group of kids.
Not a lot of ragtag hooligans.
No.
Well, and you see anybody, and you see it in sports teams, you see it in debate, you see, and any sort of extracurricular where you've got kids who have to dedicate that much extra time, those are the kids who are a cut above.
Yeah, and you can tell they do put a lot of time into it. They're really good.
Yeah, as Mary said, channeling her Simon Cowell, they were right on pitch.
They were.
No, they sounded great. I don't
they
know.
They were phenomenal.
I don't know the technicalities of music, but I know when I hear it, something is good or not, and I was mesmerized
by
them.
Tell when there's like a bad one in the group, you know.
Right.
They kind of would stand out, and you would hear this, or something, you know, whoa.
That's why there were only 24. The 25th was... bounced.
Yeah, there were no duds in that group.
No, not at all. So we thank them again. Speaking of no duds, how's that for a segue? Man, the Blackhawks needed that win last night, and they got it big time, 4-1 over the Nashville Predators.
Two in a row.
Yeah, which is good.
Against
again,
division,
in the division
rivals. Yep.
And we were talking about this yesterday, that even though it is early in the season, you want those division games now because you don't want to be toward the end of the season going, oh, if we only had that one point.
Yeah, we let that one get away from us. No, they're... they've won two straight over teams in their division, and they've got two more still to come.
Yeah, it's going to be a busy week.
Yeah, they play at Nashville tomorrow, and then they come home and play Winnipeg for the second time in five or six nights.
Right, and as we were talking about after the last Winnipeg game, Winnipeg has had a really good record at the UC. Thankfully, the Hawks snapped that the other night.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see if they can continue. Corey Crawford, an unbelievable game last
night. He was great.
Stopping 36 out of 37 shots. And I thought it was interesting, and maybe it's just interesting to me. The Blackhawks win 4-1. They were outshot by the Predators 37-24.
Mm-hmm.
So they made all those shots count. And then Patrick Kane, of course, continuing his streak, now all alone atop the record books, just widening that gap between he and Bobby Hull.
23 in a row.
That's
closing
amazing.
In on Sidney Crosby, 25, I think.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And still a ways away from Gretzky, but listen, we'll take it one game at a time, as
that's right.
As the athletes like to say, we're just one game at a time. Now I'm wondering, because he got it on an empty netter. You think Kane's slipping the other teams a little something? Going, listen, if it gets to the last minute, we've already got the game in hand. Just pull your goalie so I can keep my streak alive.
Somehow I don't think that's happening, Brian. Right. But you never know,
Dave. I like a conspiracy
theorist.
I like a
I know
good
that.
Conspiracy, but no. Congratulations to him. Congratulations to the Blackhawks, as Dave mentioned, another game against the Predators tomorrow night in Nashville. You can hear it right here on WGN. And, you know, the Canucks are coming into town on the 13th to try to best the Blackhawks, which they will not do. And Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing wants to send you to the game, as we all do. So, Kevin, you said you had a little plan for giving away today's pair of tickets. Look
sure,
at the phone's already ringing. They don't even know how.
How about another trivia question?
Oh, yes.
All right. Much has been made, obviously, about Patrick Kane's streak and his point total this season. Artemi Panarin putting together a great rookie season. He leads all NHL rookies with 28 points and 19 assists. Who has the record for most points by a rookie?
Wow. Look at you.
For the Blackhawks or anybody?
All time.
Okay.
For anybody. So most points for a rookie entire season?
Mm-hmm.
All right. For any NHL player, and you have the answer, I'm guessing.
No, I don't. So
you don't. So people are all right. So people
have the answer.
Listen, whoever calls in first
caller
with any answer, obviously Kevin is taking them. No, if you've got the answer, give a call 312-981-7200. The line's lit up before you even ask the question. I wonder how many of those people who were on hold are now going, ooh. That was a little tougher than I thought.
Lines hang up.
They're Googling. Yeah.
Right. Yes. Take your time. Ask Siri. We saw how well that worked out earlier in the program for Cap. Ask yes. Siri if she can help you. Yes. So, again, we're sending you to see the Blackhawks taking on the Vancouver Canucks on December 13th. And you're also going to be entered to win four season tickets for next year, an unbelievable prize. That is all courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com or on Facebook. We'll have the Blackhawks Express a little later as well. And then next hour, of course, Dean will join us. And then if you are an educator or if you have kids in school, a bill that is passed the House and now going to be voted on today by the Senate and expected, if it passes, to be signed by the President, that will affect how your kids are schooled. We're going to talk to the head of the National Education Alliance, Lily Escalin Garcia, after 8:30 to find out all about that. Kevin's still looking for an answer. Do you know the answer to this, Dave, without Googling? Or did you Google?
I did.
Well, that's all right. Listen, as encyclopedic as your knowledge is, you can't know every little thing, even though we expect you to.
Well, Siri didn't know.
Well, of course, Siri's not a hockey fan.
I called Cap. Cap called Siri.
The whole communication chain broke down.
Mm-hmm. Do we need a clue?
Oh, no.
Do we get a clue?
Yeah, no. Kevin
okay.
doesn't get a clue.
I do
clues.
Have the answer.
Well, let's see if Paul has the answer. Paul, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who leads, who has the record for most points in a rookie season for the NHL?
Timo Solani,
and that is correct. Very good.
The Finnish Flash.
Ah, look at that.
Yes.
Another nickname. The Finnish Flash.
He had 132 points in the 92-93 season. Steve Larmer, by the way, has the most goals for a Hawks rookie with 43 back in the 82 season.
Very nice. Thank you. And, Paul, be honest, and it's okay. You've already won the tickets. We're not going to penalize you for an honest answer. Did you know this offhand, or did you Google it?
I knew it.
Really?
Very good.
Yeah, I'm driving, so I'm not, on the internet. While I'm driving.
Yeah, but you could have asked Siri.
You could have. We know how helpful Siri is.
I'm not real good with Siri yet.
That's all right. You don't need Cap. Siri. Siri is
that's a good quote.
Quite frankly, useless. But, Paul, listen, I admire your cover story on however you got the answer. Congratulations. You're going to the UC to see the Blackhawks take on the Vancouver Canucks on December 13th. You are also entered for a chance to win four season tickets for next year. What do you think about that?
That's awesome.
That would be cool. It's all courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com or on Facebook. And I ask everybody this, Paul, because I'm always desperate to get to the UC. Who are you taking on the extra ticket?
I'm taking my wife. We're huge Blackhawks fans.
It's always the wife or the husband. I don't understand it. Well, have a good time, Paul. Congratulations, and go Hawks.
Thank you. Go Hawks.
You're very welcome. Look at that. There we go. All right. Now we go to traffic, Mary, because you have the traffic trouble spots on WGN. Brian Noonan for Steve Cochran on WGN. A lot been made about the fiancé visa that one of the San Bernardino shooters came in on. And yesterday, the House passed a new bill limiting visa-free travel to the U.S. Karen Travers is an ABC News correspondent. She is in Washington, D.C. She joins us now on WGN. Karen, thanks for taking some time this morning.
Good morning, Brian.
So tell us what this bill entails. How does it change the way people were traveling on visas before?
Right. So there is a visa waiver program where if you have a passport from one of 38 countries, mostly Western European countries, you could come here to the United States with no visa, no advance notice, and stay here for up to 90 days. Well, after the Paris attacks, this came under greater scrutiny because the attackers there, of course, held passports from Belgium and France, which means if they wanted to, under the visa waiver program, they could come here to the U.S. with no scrutiny. So the administration last week said, we want to take a closer look at this. And House Republican leaders jumped on board and said, we're down with this as well. So it passed overwhelmingly yesterday in the House. It will do so in the Senate today, and then the president will sign it. So what this does is, if you are coming from one of those 38 countries, and there'll be a closer look at where you've been before. So if you've gone to what the White House is calling a terror hotspot, like Iraq or Syria, you will have to go through a longer process. You can't just come here without a visa. You'll have to apply, go through that extensive screening. And this is also going to bump up the information sharing between the U.S. and those 38 countries to make sure that they're on top of the past travel of anybody coming here. But it's a pretty sizable program, though, of course. Millions of people come in on this.
And who is it? There are some people who are going to be exempt from this, correct?
Yes, I believe so. You know, and just to point out, because you had mentioned this in about the fiancé visa program, that is not part of this. That was not considered as part of this bill yesterday. And of course, this is something that's coming under more of attention because of the California shooting massacre. The president, when he outlined this visa waiver program, closer look, that was before the California shooting. Tashfeen Malik, who came here under that K-1 fiancé visa, this wouldn't apply to that. But also to point out to your listeners, that's only 0.3% of anybody coming here under a visa out of the 10 million visas that are issued in a given year. So it's a very, very small part of the visa program.
And they're saying that the fiancé visa waiver may be added to the year-end spending bill. That's
exactly. The White House. The White House wants to take another look at that, saying we should review that process as well. But again, those numbers, it is very, very small. I mean, the reason that was created was to prevent marriage fraud so that you weren't just bringing somebody over here to get them into the country and just getting married. But now, certainly because of last week's tragic events, there'll be more closer look at that, too.
Talking with ABC News' Karen Travers. Karen, you mentioned earlier the 38 countries that are involved in this and sharing the information, the counterterror information. If countries are not forthcoming with that information, what happens?
You're booted from the program. So if you don't share that data, if you do not cooperate with the United States, you lose the privilege of the visa waiver. So you're terminated from the program, as they say.
And you said about millions of people. The estimates I read, about 20 million people come into the country annually on these 90-day visas.
They do. And you know, one concern that lawmakers in the White House wanted to make clear that, you know, they don't want to reduce tourist travel. They don't want to reduce family travel. They don't want the headlines in Western European countries to be, oh, it's now going to be tougher for you to come to the United States and you can't just book that plane ticket and fly over. That's not the case here. Essentially, if you have nothing that's a red flag, nothing coming up in your travel history, you're fine. You can do it just as you did a month ago.
So this was a big bipartisan thing, which is unusual, but it passed both Republicans and Democrats. There were some dissenting voices on the Democratic side saying the focus should be on terrorism, not on countries.
Right, exactly. That there should be more scrutiny on, you know, working with those countries on who are on their watch list and not making a blanket thing for all of these countries. But, you know, this passed 407-19. We don't see bills like that here in Washington very often. That is unusual here. So essentially going to be passed similar bipartisan support in the Senate and then get to the president. So in this era of the holiday season, some rare bipartisan cooperation.
Yeah, it is amazing. Now, once, as expected, once the president signs this, how long before it will go into effect? How long before these visas would be under that additional scrutiny?
Right. You know, they say they want to do this as quickly as possible, and but it will take some time, especially in some of the information sharing. We're obviously doing that. The U.S. government is doing that with Western European countries. But to bump up that scrutiny will take some time and have that enhanced screening. But, you know, a lot of this is electronic records of when you have those the passports that are those high security passports. It's already noted as to where you've been over the past 5 years. So it's not like they have to go back and dig through some paper records to see where did Joe Smith travel to over the past couple of years.
Yeah, and that's and again, this whole thing is so that people can't just come over and wander around freely for 90 days.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there have been the focus, of course, on people coming from those countries that we've considered terror hotspots. But certainly after the Paris attack, when you saw that those are people with Belgian passports, those were people with French passports, that was something that was very concerning to lawmakers in the White House of this is a new era of this. We're not just talking about bad guys coming from bad areas that we typically think of. This could be a loophole for people to come here. Not even getting around anything. They're not skirting any laws. They're perfectly allowed to come here with those passports.
Exactly. Karen, thanks for the time, and we will keep in touch as this moves forward.
Thanks. Talk to you soon.
Take care. That's Karen Travers, ABC News correspondent. She is in Washington, D.C. News next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me, kiss me good.
Brian Noonan for Steve Cochran. There may not be any baby naming news, but that doesn't stop Channel 9's Dean Richards from joining us to give us the lowdown on what's happening. Good morning, Dean.
I actually had to stop myself from doing any Kim and Kanye news today. I got so much hate mail yesterday.
From people who didn't like that you mocked them or that you actually did the Kim and Kanye news?
No, that I even mentioned their names. I'm sure I'll get some just even for saying this. People, don't we have enough hate in the world?
People need to relax a little bit.
Can't we focus our hate on someone else?
Yeah, there's lots of people we could focus our hate on.
Right.
Let Saint West be and his troubled parents.
Leave him alone and mostly leave Uncle Dean alone.
Yes, that's the most important. Leave Dean alone.
Leave Uncle Dean alone.
Dean doesn't need
that. He's
Dean
had a hard life. He doesn't need that.
No, he's busy thinking of himself in the third person and being referred to in the third person. He doesn't
right.
have time for your petty arguments and hate.
He enjoys being referred to in the third person.
I know he does. That's why I try to refer to Dean Richards in the third person whenever possible.
He does. So have you heard the big theater news in Chicago? I know you are nothing if you're not a thespian.
I am always in the loop, Dean, but in case others haven't heard it, I don't want to keep it all to myself.
This is actually pretty huge. I mean, the hottest show on Broadway right now is this hip-hop musical that's called Hamilton. It's a musical that's like hip-hop, R&B, jazz, about the founding father, Alexander Hamilton. Because when you think of the guy on the $10 bill, don't you think hip-hop music?
Oh, immediately.
Yeah.
This looks crazy. I saw the preview for it. And Steve Bertrand was dancing around the newsroom yesterday.
Oh, see, there's a vision.
That's troubling.
Yes.
There is a vision I didn't need in my head.
The Hamilton copy was doing.
Don't make me inject Kim and Kanye to divert people's attention.
No, please. Let's all take a moment and shake our heads to try to get that vision out.
Right. People, everybody's going crazy over the show. You cannot get a ticket for Hamilton in New York. That's how hot a show it is. When the Tony Awards come out, the next round of Tony Awards next summer, certainly Hamilton will clean up. It's one of the most successful. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't been able to get a ticket for it.
How can you not get a ticket?
How does that happen exactly?
I don't understand.
Every
that.
Time that I've been in New York, I haven't had time to see any shows, but I've called to see if it's possible to get tickets, and it's not. So anyway, the bottom line of this, it's coming to Chicago.
Oh, very nice.
We don't need to go to New York to see this show. They just announced yesterday that they announced that the show as it's running in New York is going to be coming to Chicago, which means they're not going to scale it down. A lot of times when they have big shows that are in New York, they scale them down as they travel them around the country. This one apparently is going to be here in Chicago for about a year, at least a year, depending on tickets. I imagine that this run is going to be like Wicked was when it was in Chicago, ran for quite a while, or Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. It's going to begin September 27th of next year. It's going to be full scale, just like it's playing in New York right now. There's no word on casting yet. Group sales will begin on January the 5th, and single ticket sales have not been announced yet. They'll announce when you can buy a single ticket for that at some later date. But it's Hamilton. It's going to be at the newly named Private Bank Theater. Maybe you remember it as the Schubert Theater.
Okay, I was wondering which one got changed.
Yeah, they called it, I first went to it as the Schubert.
Right.
Then they called it the LaSalle Bank Theater.
Yes.
Then the Bank of America Theater. And now it's called, what did I say, Private Bank Theater.
The Private Bank Theater, no matter what you call it.
Some of you may remember it actually originally opened as the Majestic Theater. That was, you know, like in the 1920s. So I don't know if anybody remembers that. But anyway, it's the theater that's on Monroe Street. It's like 20 West Monroe, something like that. But this is huge. This is huge that it's first coming to Chicago before it goes anywhere else. Huge that it's going to play here for such a long time.
And it sounds in the theater community, and it sounds like you say, huge news. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around Hamilton and hip hop being blended together.
Yeah, I've seen videos of it. I've seen stories that have been done. CBS Sunday Morning did a piece on it that I saw, a recorded piece, because of course I listen to my own radio show on Sunday morning.
You're very busy on Sunday.
I do not encourage people to watch television on Sunday morning, but you can watch recordings of it later on.
Sure, DVR, those kind of things.
DVR, that's why they made, that's why they invented the DVR.
Right.
So I've seen stories on the show, on the creator of the show, who also created In the Heights. So, you know, it's got kind of, you know, that vibe and feel to it. And it seems to work. I mean, people come out of this thing raving about this show. So.
How do you hip-hop with those wigs on, though?
With the glue. With the powder wigs.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying.
With the powder wigs.
With the powder wigs.
I can groove with a powder wig. But my tri-cornered hat, that keeps falling off.
Yes.
Wow, there's another visual that we are going to enjoy while we...
My wooden shoes. It's hard to dance in wooden shoes. Brian, as you know, it's hard to dance in wooden shoes. Anyone knows that.
Clogging is tough. And, you know, when I put the wooden shoes on, one, it's very noisy, and the neighbors complain. But two, you're right. You get blisters. They don't stay on.
You can't get the same moves.
No, not at all.
You don't have the same flexibility. You're dancing Hamilton, Hamilton. I guess that's not very hip. Pop, is it?
I don't know, but I'm going to enjoy that.
Yo, dog, Hamilton.
You sound like Kate Smith or something.
H to the A to the Hamilton, yo.
Wow. Dean is down.
I'm down and out.
Your Hamilton is on point, as the kids like to say. Dean, hang on. We're going to talk more about this. We'll give you time to sing some more songs and do some more dancing and refer to yourself in the third person in just a minute. We know that music. I'm wondering, Dean, if you have some sort of Star Wars related news for us.
Hamilton. Hamilton.
Since you're still singing, somebody asked if you could please repeat when group sales go and the opening date for Hamilton.
Opening date for Hamilton will be September 27th of next year, 2016, and group sales begin January 5th.
January 5th for group sales. Dean will have the entire score memorized by January 6th.
Hamilton, Hamilton.
is that one of the songs, or are you just making it up?
I'm writing my own musical.
You sound good.
A musical called The Show Nobody Came To.
I'll come and see it, Dean.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I have a lot of free time, though.
Lining up, people are.
Yeah.
That's my Yoda impersonation.
That was very good.
Lining up already, people are.
Historical to science fiction.
To science fiction. Can you believe this? The movie, Star Wars The Force Awakens, doesn't even open for 9 more days. And at least in Los Angeles, maybe elsewhere, but I've seen video of people in front of the famous Chinese theater in Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
They are lined up already to get in to see the first screening of The Force Awakens. They're out there with their tents and sleeping bags and... You know, boy, it's going to smell nice out there.
Yeah, there's a part of me that admires that dedication and a part of me that would cross the street because I'd be afraid of those people.
Well, that's, that's you've seen video from in front of the Chinese theater and the it's now called the Dolby Theater where they do the Oscars.
Right.
I mean, it's like a big touristy area right there.
Yeah, it's very cool if you happen to go down there
freaks. The creepy guys, dressed up like Batman and, creepy guys dressed up as Wonder Woman. And it's like, really when they mingle with the tourists and to take pictures to make some money. But it's a kind of a creepy, icky street to begin with. So now you've got these people out there who are going to be in their tents in their sleeping bags for at least 9 days until the movie opens up. Oh, somebody is in for a big treat when they finally do get into that theater.
Yeah, that first showing is going to stank.
Get to sit right next to them.
What do you hear about it? What's the advanced buzz? I know they're promoting
not hearing a word.
Promoting it crazy.
Not hearing a word.
Really?
I have never seen such tight-lipped anything as on this movie. I will be seeing it. Before it opens, there'll be a critics screening at a secret location. They told us when. They haven't told us where yet.
Is that right?
They're going to tell us the last minute.
Will they put a bag over your head and shuttle you
there? I think so.
Like a hostage?
I think so. They put me in the trunk of a car and take me someplace to see this movie. That's how it's going to work.
Holy smoke. And are there a lot of movies that have this level of secrecy, or is this extra special?
I have never seen it like it is with this movie. I mean, often when there's big or very anticipated movie, they're secretive about it, and they'll tell the critics, we're going to have the screening, don't give away any spoilers,
right.
I would hope that a critic wouldn't do that ever, but
sure.
some actually do. I've never seen anything like this. There were interviews with the cast over the weekend, and normally before we do the interviews with the A-listers, we see the movie first, so we have some point of reference. They did not even do that this time. So,
really?
So when we went in to talk with the stars, Harrison Ford, for example, Chicago's very own.
Get off my plane,
Harrison Ford. Harrison Ford. He's. People say he's difficult to talk to. I've always found him very pleasant to talk to, and here. He remembered, going back and all the hype and excitement surrounding the original film.
It was very much more powerful than I had expected. And it went on to a much greater success than I had ever. I didn't have a mindset where I was thinking about how successful it would be. I just thought if the check cleared and I could get another job, that's as far as it went with me in those days. Could have cashed it at the grocery store. It was $1,000 a week, is what I made for their first film.
How about that?
$1,000 a week.
His salary for the first film, $1,000 a week.
Wow.
For that epic. They were all young, unknown actors.
Yeah, exactly.
Then Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill.
Carrie Fisher's out of her mind in a great way. All the interviews she's doing, I love her. She's flying off the planet like Gary Busey.
In case Carrie Fisher's attorney is listening, I would rephrase that and say that she marches to the beat of her own drummer.
Oh, no, I admire it. I'm saying it's great.
Of course you do.
I think she's
right.
Delightfully loony.
Our co-defendant, Brian Noonan, saying that he enjoys... her uniqueness.
Yes.
Just to clarify completely.
Right,
she definitely marches to the beat of her own drum.
She's a fun woman.
That is very, very...
She's a fun woman.
You know what else was fun? And here's the awkward transition of the century.
The
movie Dirty Dancing. Did you like the Dirty Dancing back in 1987?
Dean, nobody keeps Baby or me in a corner, so I love that movie.
I do know that. They are going to remake Dirty Dancing as a TV musical. You know how they just did The Wiz and they just did, they did Sound of Music and Peter Pan and like all those.
Uh-huh.
They're going to do that with Dirty Dancing. It's not going to be live like the others were.
Okay.
It's going to be recorded. And also, by the way, it's going to be 3 hours.
What?
I don't know if I could take 3 hours
of
that. But I don't know if you know the actress Abigail Breslin. She was the little girl, in fact, the Oscar-nominated little girl who was in Little Miss Sunshine. She's
yes.
grown up and
she's on Scream Queens.
She's on Scream Queens
are
now.
Are you a fan?
I am.
I love that show.
She is. She's going to be Baby. She's going to be
really?
Baby in the movie. She's signed on.
Holy cow!
She kind of fits, maybe.
She almost. Bit. I was going to say she almost seems a little old
well, she
for
has
Baby.
The baby face.
Right. She's very talented. I like her.
I didn't know that you know that she was a singer or dancer. So I guess
nor did
I. Apparently,
yeah.
she is.
She's going to have the time of her life, Dean. We know that.
Though I never felt this way before. We don't know who's playing the Patrick Swayze role. We don't know when this is going to be on the air yet. But interesting that they're going to you know give it a shot and see how it goes. These musicals on TV, they're all the rage right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, isn't Grease coming out soon?
Grease is going to be. I think it's sometime in December.
Are there no original ideas left, Dean? You're in Hollywood all the time. Does nobody have one?
There is not a single original idea left.
I'm just checking.
I leave you today with this may be my favorite story of the week so far. Anything could happen. But do you know Norman Reedus? Do you know who that is?
From The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead. He plays Daryl Dixon on the show. He's at one of these Walking Dead conventions. They call them the Walker Stalker fan conventions.
Yeah.
It was going on in New Jersey. People are waiting in line to take a picture with him. One woman comes, you know, very excited to meet him, wants to take a picture with him, and he accommodates. So, you know, they're posing. And when it comes time, you know, for snap time, she leans in and bites his chest.
Oh, nice.
Bites him.
Nice.
Zombie style.
Zombie style.
Didn't break the skin. Security removed her immediately.
Wow.
Reedus was nice and didn't press charges. About the whole thing, but he did on his Instagram account posted a picture of himself wearing a T-shirt said, "Please don't bite me," which is opposite the T-shirt that I wear all the time that just says "bite me."
Yeah, for all those haters who are upset with you for the Kim and Kanye news,
right?
As you should, Dean.
Exactly.
Will you do me a favor? Will you leave us with a little more Hamilton?
Hamilton, and like some scratching. We need some hip hop. Hamilton.
Well, that's if people
again. That's from my new musical shows people will never want to see.
That's Dean Richards. You can watch him every morning on WGN Morning News and hear him, of course, here on his fantastic Sunday show that runs pretty much all day now on Sunday, officially 9 to 1, but we like to let it go till Dean passes out, pretty much.
Which is often 9:10.
Often 9:10. Yeah. Well, we'll talk to you again tomorrow, Dean. Thanks a lot.
See you guys.
Take care. Bye-bye. News next on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
The 8 o'clock hour of the Steve Cochran Show is sponsored by Wintrust Community Banks. I'm Brian Noonan in for Steve this week. Steve will be back on Monday. Big changes coming to education. If your children are in school, this will affect them. It will definitely affect you. It's going to affect how things are run. The House passed a rewrite to the No Child Left Behind law, and the Senate is voting on that today. Lily Eskelson Garcia is the president of the National Education Association. She joins us now on 720 WGN. Good morning, Lily. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Brian. It's an honor to be here.
Well, this is exciting for anybody who has kids in school. We've all heard of No Child Left Behind, but the new bill is Every Student Succeeds. That's the name of the act, the Every Student Succeeds Act. What is that, and how does it differ from No Child Left Behind?
Well, you are right. This is an exciting time. This is like the 4th of July, Christmas Day, New Year's, Happy Hanukkah, where you know, every beloved celebration you ever wanted to have is rolled into one, because today, with the Senate vote, we end the disastrous No Child Left Untested. And we move forward. We will never speak the law, never to be spoken of again. We will move forward to Every Student Succeeds. And I'll tell you where the game changer is. Congress will no longer be our national school board, because we know how well they can, play in the sandbox
sure.
together. And here's the thing. I have to hand it to them. I know that we bash Congress a lot. It's our national pastime. But they did something amazing, and when they do something right, I think we've got to give them all the love.
Give them some love, Lily.
Give them some love. They did a good thing with Every Student Succeeds, because here's what we will end. We will end that test and punish. All I need to know about your kid, all that education means to your kid, is did they hit a arbitrary cut score on a standardized test in math and reading. Check. That's all they get. And we know that a whole blessed child can be succeeding on a lot of different levels that will never show up on a standardized test. That standardized test gives us some information, by the way, but it's very limited information, and they were using it to say, this child is a failure. This child can't go to fourth grade. This child can't graduate. This school is a failure, and only based on that standardized test. That was toxic.
So I'm guessing... I'm guessing by your reaction that educators, because if you talk to teachers, that's their biggest gripe, that they have to teach for the test, that it's like you said, constant standardized testing. So are teachers and educators, administrators at the state levels, are they very happy about this? They've got to be, right?
They are thrilled, but there's a big but here. Now the action moves to the state level. And here's what I want folks to realize, because as I talk to my colleagues and I say, what will replace that single standardized test is the federal government now will say every state needs to have a dashboard of multiple indicators. Now, one of those, you know, graduation rates, proficiency for kids learning English, those are important things to know. Also, you get to come up with and be creative. I had one teacher in California who said, you know what I hope they measure? I hope they measure how many of our students graduate having already earned college credit. Mm-hmm. You can count that. And it means you would have an incredibly different kind of program than just one-size-fits-all test and punish. So our educators are already thinking about the things they want to see on a dashboard. We are organizing now, not just our educators, but parents and civil rights groups and advocacy groups for children with disabilities. And we're saying, here's what we want on that dashboard. And when we see where the gaps are, because there are gaps between children that live in very challenging situations and children that are born with silver spoons in their mouths, and bless them, what we want for all kids is what the most affluent neighborhoods, schools in the country have. We want all kids to have what they need.
Makes sense.
So I wouldn't take one thing away from one kid. I would just lift everybody up. And we have a chance now in state legislatures to have our voice heard.
Lily Eskelson-Garcia is the president of the National Education Association. So we know how it'll affect educators, but on a day-to-day basis, what kind of changes are parents going to see once every student succeeds actually passes?
You know, I think what they're going to see 5 minutes after that passes is not just a sigh of relief. There has been a fear factor built in by design under No Child Left. If you're scared enough of being called a failure, if you're scared enough of your kids not being able to go to fourth grade, you'll just magically be able to get them to pass a
test.
If the fear, you
that
know,
works.
If you're scared enough, then you'll that will inspire you.
Fear, the great motivator of education.
Exactly. You know, and so that doesn't work in the business world, by the way, either, but that's the model that they had. And so I think right away you will have educators say, finally, people understand. I love my kids. I want to be creative. You will see the shackles taken off of our school teachers as they say, some of the things I'm doing in my school are really important to kids loving learning. Current events, by the way, art, the theater class, the band, those are all things that don't end up on a standardized test, and those are the things that have been taken away from us. So finally, we're going to be able to get back to giving some true power, some authority over instructional design, instructional interventions by the people who know the names of the boys and girls.
Well, that'll be a nice change.
How crazy is that?
A nice change. But just to clarify, this does not mean an end to standardized testing. There's still going to be the test, but what it will mean is that the federal government is not overseeing everything and that the curriculum is not based on we have to score well on these tests or we lose out on everything else.
And here's the ultimate irony. The places in the world like Finland, by the way, that we keep being, you know, it's like we have global competition. They did better on this, you know, this international test. They don't have standardized testing in Finland.
Not at all?
at all. No, they outlawed it. They said it's a waste of time and money. It doesn't really give us a lot of information. Mm. So every 3 years they give them at random, by the way, an international test, and they score off the charts because they're actually spending time teaching and learning. So those kids, when they actually are faced with a standardized test, it's not that they're good test guessers. They actually know what they're talking about. They're confident. They've come to school ready to learn, and they feel respected and comfortable in that learning environment. That's what we need from our global competition. We need to learn from that.
Lily, how can people get some more information?
You know, so many people have had questions about the details. We put up a website anyone can go up to. The original law was called the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, ESEA. So go up to GetESEARight.com. And not only will you get a lot of good information, you'll get some information about how you can get involved, because we want parents in the community to be working with educators to go up to those state capitals, to go to your school board, to go to your local school and say, here are the kinds of things we want to be measuring. These are the indicators of success that we want for our kids. And our voices now have a chance to be heard.
Very nice. GetESEARight.com. Lily, thanks very much for the time this morning.
A pleasure.
Take care. That's Lily Eskelson Garcia. She is the president of the National Education Association. So good news if you are an educator. You'll actually get a little more control, which will be good. All right, we're going to go now live. Mayor Emanuel is addressing the city council.
Every other challenge we have ever faced, this one is not bigger than us or beyond us. The only thing that stands between us and a better place is whether we have the collective will to admit to ourselves where we have fallen short, the courage to do the hard but necessary things that will take for us to move forward. Chicago needs your heart, your strength, and your spirit, because that is what it will take from all of us in this room and outside of this room. What happened on October 20th, 2014 should never have happened. Supervision and leadership in the police department and the oversight agencies that were in place failed. And that has to change. I am the mayor. As I said the other day, I own it. I take responsibility for what happened because it happened on my watch. And if we're going to fix it, I want you to understand it's my responsibility with you. But if we're also going to begin the healing process, the first step in that journey is my step, and I'm sorry. Nothing less than complete and total reform of the system and the culture that it breeds will meet the standard we have set for ourselves as a city. I have reflected deeply on what happened that night. A young man with a knife, agitated, surrounded by police officers. But until that point, where police officer Jason Van Dyke got onto the scene and got out of his car, this was a routine situation. It could have and it should have been contained and managed. Situations like this are diffused and resolved all the time without the loss of life, which is why we never hear about them. The majority of our officers do their job professionally every day. But 30 seconds after Officer Jason Van Dyke arrived, it was anything but routine or by the book. 16 shots were fired. A young man from Chicago died in the streets of Chicago. Nothing can excuse what happened to Laquan McDonald. Our city has been down this road before. We have seen fatal police shootings and other forms of abuse and corruption. We took corrective measures, but those measures never measured up to the challenge. So today I want to describe the challenges that we must address. Every police officer is sworn to protect life, and under the most extreme circumstances, to take life. It is a staggering responsibility that requires officers to make split-second decisions. In millions of encounters each year between police and the public, it may be too much to expect that every officer will always get it right. But it is not too much to expect that we can put the right safeguards in place to hold officers accountable when they get it wrong. What makes an officer's job all the more difficult, dangerous, and demanding is that it rests on upholding that sacred trust with citizens that he or she serves. Nevertheless, I ask every officer in Chicago, reflect on your work, your training, your experience, and to be honest about the fears and frustrations you bring to that job. They are real. They matter. And we as a city cannot be afraid to talk openly and honestly about them. We can define the rules of police-citizen engagement, but everyday decisions will always be made by men and women in uniform, on the street, in a community, under extreme pressure, in a dangerous world, where guns easily fall into the wrong hands. We are right to ask the best and the most from every officer. But the rest of us who do not put our lives on the line every day must be honest about our own responsibilities as well. As a nation, we have done too little to reverse the gun epidemic that makes every encounter between the public and the police potentially lethal. Shoot first and ask questions later too easily become the default practice and posture in a fearful world where mass killings are now a regular event and there's an increasing likelihood of a gun in every home, car, or backpack. The Chicago Police Department takes more illegal guns off the street than either New York or L.A. While we must hold accountable the fraction of officers who betray our solemn and sacred trust, we must also acknowledge the real dangers of police face and the honorable work that the vast majority of them do every day. My uncle was a police sergeant here in Chicago. I respect the work he did, and other officers do today. But let me be really clear. We cannot ignore, nor can we excuse wrongful behavior, especially when it costs the life of another citizen. Police are not protecting the city of Chicago when they see something and then say nothing. Our reforms will rely on the work of police, elected officials, community and religious leaders across our city who bring their experience, relationships, and close knowledge of the communities they serve. We need your leadership, your involvement, because a big part of this effort is to empower your constituents to help police make our communities safer. We have to provide opportunities for the community to air their grievances with the police, and we need community leaders to foster those conversations and to keep those conversations productive, honest, and respectful. I want to speak directly to every resident of Chicago. I work for you. My first responsibility, and your government's first responsibility, is to keep you and your family safe and to make sure that you feel safe in your neighborhoods. And we have clearly fallen short on this issue. And that needs to change. It starts by hearing your fears and your frustrations, as well as your hopes and your expectations. We also need to see what we can do in our communities to restore trust where it has been lost. I know some of you are afraid to work with police. You do not trust them. And I want to be honest. When an African-American mother or father or a grandparent feel it is necessary to train their sons and daughters to behave with extreme caution, when they are pulled over by police, to have both hands on the wheel and visible, what does that say? We have a trust problem. It is not something I would ever tell my children. That's unacceptable. When parents tell their children not to congregate on corners, especially in groups, out of fear for them encountering the police, what does that say? We have a trust problem. So we, elected leaders, police officers, community and religious leaders, have a responsibility to earn back the trust and to change that narrative. This is not just about what police need to do. When a 9-year-old son is executed in retaliation against his father by someone who knew his mother, what does that say? We have normalized gun violence. When an adult victim of gun violence himself gives his 14-year-old niece a gun to settle a score from social media, which then leads to the homicide of another child, what does that say? We have normalized gun violence. All of us must set a higher standard of behavior for our children and help them understand that people can work out their problems responsibly and fairly with mutual respect. We need to reset our norms. We need to reset our expectations. We need to reset our values. This is not just a community or police problem. I know that, personally. I have a lot of work to do to win back the public's trust, and that words are not enough. I will not rest until we take the concrete steps that are necessary to confront all of these issues comprehensively, effectively. There will be many who doubt our efforts. I get that. I begin this effort with the request of every person in this city to bring out the best in themselves, to look for the best in others as we focus on the hard work ahead. It falls to 3 overarching areas: justice, culture, and community. The pursuit of justice on the issue of police misconduct is our most immediate and pressing goal, and several efforts are underway. First, Officer Van Dyke has been charged with murder, and the state attorney is proceeding with that case. The public trust is the most important resource we have, but I recognize that a prolonged investigation served to undermine public trust, and every day that we held on to the video contributed to the public's distrust, and that needs to change. Second, there's a federal civil rights investigation into this shooting and the conduct of the officers who responded to the scene. That investigation began over a little over a year ago, and again, that is being handled by the U.S. Attorney. Third, the Justice Department is now looking more broadly at the issue of police misconduct, police oversight, and civil rights here in Chicago. We welcome it. We will be a better city for it. It is in our self-interest because we need their help and assistance to make the fundamental and necessary changes. Fourth, on August 6th, the ACLU and the Chicago Police Department came to an agreement to have an independent evaluation of CPD's investigatory stop practices and procedures, additional data collection on stops, better training for officers, and better transparency for the public. As part of this historic agreement, the Chicago Police Department will create enhanced training to reinforce the law and policy and to ensure respect for civil rights. Because civil rights and public safety go hand in hand. Fifth, we announced a task force last week of respected and knowledgeable leaders in criminal justice and police oversight, who will conduct a very public and thorough review of our existing system of training, oversight, discipline, accountability, and transparency. In a letter made public this week, the task force outlined a timeline and plans to hold public hearings with the community and with experts from across the country. The task force is led by Lori Lightfoot, a distinguished former prosecutor with a deep history of investigating police misconduct. She currently chairs the Chicago Police Board with rules on police disciplinary, which rules on police disciplinary cases. It also includes Inspector Joe Ferguson, Inspector General Joe Ferguson, retired Chicago Police Superintendent Param Grau, former federal prosecutor Sergio Acosta, and University of Chicago law professor and former public defender Randolph Stone. In addition, Chicago native Deval Patrick, the former chief of the Civil Rights Division at the Department of Justice and former governor of Massachusetts, is serving as a senior advisor to the task force. Collectively, the members of the task force bring decades of experience, knowledge, and different perspectives to these complex issues. They have committed to delivering a report to the public by the end of March that clearly identifies the problems and offers real solutions to each and every one of them. They will look at the Bureau of Internal Affairs at the police department, which investigates corruption. They will look at the Independent Police Review Authority, which investigates police shootings and citizen complaints. They will look at IPRA's record since it was created in 2007 and ask a simple question. Why, out of hundreds of police shootings in the last 8 years, only a handful of them have led to any charges? They will ask why some police officers with repeated and multiple citizen complaints of excessive force have yet to face any meaningful disciplinary action. These facts defy credibility, which is why on Monday I appointed Sharon Farrelly to head IPRA. She brings a wealth of experience from the public and private sectors to help reinvigorate IPRA and reestablish the integrity and independence it was originally designed to have.
You've been listening to Mayor Rahm Emanuel address the City Council on the Department of Justice investigation and the ongoing problems with the Chicago Police Department. We'll get to the news on the other side. It's 720 WGN. It's Brian Noonan in for Steve Cochran. We're going to go back to City Hall where Mayor Emanuel is still addressing the City Council regarding what's been going on with the Chicago Police
what
Department.
What they did in the past was wrong. They made a choice. So I asked them, tell me the one thing I need to know. And rather than tell me something, one young man asked me a simple question that gets to the core of what we're talking about. He said, do you think the police would ever treat you the way they treat me? And the answer is no. And that is wrong. And that has to change in this city.
That has to come to an end, and end now. No citizen is a second-class citizen in the city of Chicago. If my children are treated one way, every child is treated the same way. There is one standard for our young men. And we can do everything that we are talking about. But it comes down to one simple thing. It's what we are taught when we're children and what we hope to teach our children as parents. And that is the value of respect. We can have the training, we can have the leadership, we can have the manual, but it is what is in here that we need to call out onto the streets of Chicago. Because respect is earned. Respect is a two-way street. And that is what we will begin to demand from this day forward. Now, while we have communities overrun by gangs and guns, I want to be clear to everybody, we also have grandmothers who sit on a porch watching kids go to school. People who mentor young men. And kids who are graduating and going on to college. We as a city cannot just show up when there is either a basketball shot or a gunshot. We must be there every day, helping to nurture that sense of community. Beyond the issues of policing and fighting crime, we must also address the underlying challenges of family, of poverty, of joblessness, of hopelessness, which demand greater action, not just in this city, but across the country. We cannot wait another day to address the current crisis that we face. We have to have better oversight of our police officers to ensure that they are living up to the high standards we expect of them. And we also have to create a place for the community to vent their understandable feelings and fears about the police without it devolving into acrimony and finger pointing. We have to have these difficult conversations if we are going to build trust. Not just have conversations, but also have the ability to hear each other. We have to enable people to speak freely, and we have to listen intently. We have to listen to the parents whose children were killed and see their extraordinary grace, their strength, and their courage that is required of them to endure the infinite pain of bearing a child. We have to listen to the men who have been in and out of the criminal justice system and listen to the limited choices they have faced and understand them rather than simply condemn them. And finally, the community has to listen to our police officers. Talk about their work and the challenges of working in communities overrun by gangs, drugs, guns, and the loss of hope and opportunity. And at the same time, the police have to listen to the community to understand the challenges they face and hear their hopes and expectations for their own future and their own children's future. Both sides have to look beyond the surface to see the common humanity they share instead of the differences that divide them. A young man can look at the uniform or see a father. The officer can see dreadlocks and tattoos, or a student and an artist. Our efforts are to have them see past their roles
souls. That is our work. We have to be honest with ourselves. Each time when we confronted it in the past as a city, Chicago only went as far as our conscience so we could move on. This time must be different.
And it is a long journey because of the issues we need to confront. But we as a city will not hesitate in the pursuit of what is right. We cannot shrink from the challenge any more than we can ignore the wrenching video of a troubled young man, a ward of the state of Illinois, failed by the system, surrounded by the police, and gunned down on the streets of Chicago. This is not the Chicago we love, and this is not the Chicago we know. This is not the police department we believe in and trust to protect our families and our neighborhoods. This is not who we are, and this will not stand. Laquan McDonald's death was totally avoidable. Our only choice as a city is to do everything in our power to right that wrong. It starts today, it starts now, and it starts with us. Thank you.
You've been listening to Mayor Rahm Emanuel address the Chicago City Council on the problems with the police department. We'll take a quick break and be back to start wrapping things up here on the Steve Cochran Show. It's WGN. It has been a busy morning here on the Steve Cochran Show. Brian Noonan in for Steve. I'll be here tomorrow and Friday as well, and then Steve will be back with you on Monday morning. The personnel will shift greatly as the week goes on. I believe I will be here with inanimate objects, or somebody hopefully will be filling in.
There will be animate objects.
Oh, there will be people? Yes. I thought when you guys left, they were like, well, we can't bring anybody in to replace Dave and Andre and Mary and Steve. I know Orion's going to be here tomorrow.
Right.
So he's animate. That's
absolutely
good. That's one good thing.
More than most of us.
No, exactly. If Orion puts most of us to shame with his animation. All right, we've been moving things around because of the breaking news this morning, but it is time for us to roll the Blackhawks Express. This is sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. Hit it, Kev.
Chicago!
At center ice, this game's underway. The Hawks control. Here's Shaw from the slot. Predator zone. Should he score? And it may be Dennis Rasmussen tipping it home. He was in front of the Predator net. Lead by Rene. Karavainen to Shaw. Left circle. Should he score? It's a power play goal, and the Hawks lead 2-0. A perfect setup by Karavainen over to Shaw for the one-timer. 2-0 Hawks. Ribeiro into the Hawks zone to Craig Smith on the slot, drops it off. Crawford with a huge save. On the far side, it was Arvidsson. Then another save by Crawford. On a wrist shot from Jackman, Corey Crawford scrambling in the Hawk crease to make two sensational saves. And the United Center crowd saluting the Blackhawks goaltender with a standing ovation. Right wing corner. Hayes battling there with Jackman. Bosa is able to pull the puck out of the pile, but lost it to the Predators. Roman Josi to the Hawk line right wing. Works his way by Keith down the right side. Put it out in front. They score. Kind of a clumsy handoff there, but Eric Nystrom had his stick in the right spot and deflects this pass from Josi into the back of the Hawk net. The Predators are on the board, trailing 2-1. Underway here in the fifth, third, bank, third period. Teravainen came along at center ice, took the puck into the Predator zone, shoots and scores! 14 seconds into the third period, Teemu Teravainen with his second goal in as many games. A hard wrist shot from the right circle beats Rinne. 3-1 Hawks. Yarncroke into the Hawks zone, caught from behind by Panarin, who reaches out with his stick and knocks the puck off of Yarncroke's stick. Dalmerson along the far boards, now in the corner, works it free to Panarin on the right wing boards. To Kane at center ice on the left wing, a long shot, he scores! Make it 23 straight games for the point. Patrick Kane fired it into an empty Predator net. And with 1:36 left on the clock for the third period, That's all she wrote. It's 4-1 Hawks. 5 seconds left. Now 3-2-1. The Blackhawks are back in third place in the Central Division. They beat the Nashville Predators here tonight 4-1. And they hop over their opponent here tonight, the Predators. Blackhawks now have 34 points on the season. And they hop over idle Minnesota as well. The Blackhawks now in third place in the Central with this win here tonight. The first of two meetings with the Nashville Predators goes the Blackhawks' way 4-1.
And that is Blackhawks Express, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. The Blackhawks go down to Music City tomorrow night to take on the Predators. Dave, you think they'll have to make any adjustments? The Predators playing pretty good at home, you know, I guess.
They are, but remember, the Blackhawks went in there and last year in the playoffs.
Took care of business.
Yeah, and they've played well against Nashville.
They have, and you know, everybody talking about Kaner's streak, which is impressive, not to be denied at all. Corey Crawford last night, especially in the third period, on his head, it was an unbelievable performance by Crow. So congratulations to the Blackhawks. We'll talk to Coach Q, of course, tomorrow morning right here on the Steve Cochran Show, which should be a lot of fun. Now, we've got to once again tell people about this something very special that is coming up next Friday here on WGN and throughout the Christmas holiday hours. The Miracle on 34th Street live performance. We call it Miracle on Jerry Wells Street because you know, we've changed it up a little bit. We made some adjustments. Mary is very excited about her part in it. Dave is one of the main characters. The narrator? Are you narrator or host?
I'm host. Okay. Official title.
It's very nice.
Yeah, Dave always gets those flashy parts.
It's a good part. Oh, Mary, you know there's all good parts.
You say that with like some, yeah, I don't know. Are you mad?
No, I'm fine. I'm just happy I have a line. That's awesome.
I sensed a little hostility on Mary's part there.
Yeah. No, he's the voice of the cats. He's, you know.
Well, sure.
And he's the man.
And now he's the host of these. But there's host. You're the host.
If
and then
wasn't
there's narrator, too. There's narrators,
football.
Too. Right?
I'm the host, and then there are announcers.
That's what I am. I'm an announcer.
Yeah, okay. See?
Announcer
yeah.
number two.
I have no problem with you being an announcer.
Right.
Oh, good.
Sounds good. Anyway, you'll be able to hear Dave, Mary. You'll be able to hear Steve as Kris Kringle, Roe as I can't remember his character's name. He's the main guy. Wendy Snyder, of course, the main female role.
Is she the little girl?
No, she's not the little girl. Oh. She's the Macy's employee, the mother of the little
so
girl.
So Roe is Fred Gailey.
Yes, Fred Gailey is Roe.
Who is a lawyer. A lawyer?
He's the lawyer who tries to convince the court that Kris Kringle is, in fact, Santa Claus.
Correct.
He also is trying to befriend Wendy's character, who is the Macy's employee, by using her little girl to get to her, which is sneaky but admirable at the same time.
Yes.
So good for Mr. Gailey. So you'll be able to hear this all live Friday, December 18th, from 10 until noon. Your favorite WGN radio host will star in this version of the Holiday Classic. And again, I will say, there will be some hosts that you just tolerate. They're in it, too, because we're inclusive here at WGN. We don't just pick favorites.
Everybody
gets a shot.
Although, if you suck up enough, then you do get a better part.
Well, see,
I'm just saying.
And again, we go back to Mary's point that Dave always gets the good parts.
Yes. I plead guilty. By the way, you are also listed. This is an interesting group. You're listed among the party goers.
I am a party goer.
Adam Hoag, Mark Carman, Brian Noonan, Dave Hoekstra, and Jarrett Payton.
This is going to be a
party. That's going to be a great party.
How come there's no women in that party?
Because we're just getting crunk and talking about the ladies. That's what we're going to be doing at the party. Me and Jarrett and Hoag.
Well, at least you're not the carolers.
No. I'm Dr. Pearson, and then I go right to the party because doctors need to cut loose after a long
two
day.
Parts.
Well, I'm background. The party guests are background where we go rabble, 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 make noise. It's fun.
You know, it's really funny. That same night, I'm going to the Wheaton Theater, and I am seeing the radio performance of Miracle on 34th Street at the Wheaton Theater.
Are you really?
Isn't that odd?
You could step in as an understudy if somebody can't make it.
I could.
Don't get antsy and jump in and try to take the role that you wanted in our production from the people at the Wheaton Theater.
There's an idea.
I've always wanted this one.
Yes.
Anyway, you'll be able to hear mystery voices. You'll be cued to call in. You could win a chillcation package at the Hilton Chicago or the Palmer House. Go to the contest page at WGNRadio.com for full details and listen to Miracle on Jerry Wells Street Friday, December 18th from 10 until noon. It's sponsored by Lou Malnati's Pizzeria and chillcation.com. Let's take a quick break. Then we'll come back, wrap things up, and say hello to Bill and Wendy. All right. Yesterday, I was very happy when Bill and Wendy came in, and I'm still happy, but I'm not going to say it because that seemed to draw the ire of one Wendy Snyder who accused me of being too nice.
There was some friction in here yesterday, and I don't understand it, Brian. I don't know where it came from.
Well, some people just can't accept kindness when it's directed toward them. They are skeptical. They're suspicious of my ulterior motives, which there are none. But as I promised yesterday, there's a little something for you, Wendy.
Wow. You just flipped me off.
I saw that. I saw that.
Now today's I feel
mean,
at home.
Today's Mean Brian Day.
Little kids passing by Michigan Avenue downtown doing some Christmas shopping just seem frightened by what
you just
did.
It's a Christmas miracle, kids. I guess that's how it goes. That's how grown-ups celebrate the holidays.
I'll tell you, yesterday you walked by the big window, the Allstate Showcase window, and you flipped me off then, too.
I told you that once my mood is flipped,
you have an almost Patrick Kane-like streak going, Brian.
Yes, you do. And if you're lucky, I'm still here Thursday and Friday. I could flip you off both those days as well.
Do you think you'll break Wayne Gretzky's flip-off streak of 51 straight
There's
shows?
There's a good chance. I have nothing holding me back except opportunity.
There's nothing on my chair today, as promised.
Well, I haven't left yet, have I? Let's just say I've been doing the Iron Cross on the armrest here. So what's on your big broadcast?
I don't know what that means,
other than
Wendy
trying to clean up.
You don't want to know.
We've got an action-packed show.
Really?
We're going to talk to Doc Emmerich.
Oh, nice.
Because I love him. Don't you love him, Bill?
I love Doc Emmerich. And
he treated your hemorrhoids, didn't he?
Yeah. He looked at my test results and he said everything looks to be in order. But
that's good.
Preparation H. They don't call him pucks for nothing.
Wow. We've set a tone here. So Doc Emmerich is coming on. That'll be good.
We're also going to talk to Tamara Manessa, who has started this Mothers Against Senseless Killing. Women who sit in the neighborhood, who I heard Rahm mention, there are grandmas that sit there on their porch and watch and look over the neighborhood while kids are going to school. Yeah. Anxious to talk to her.
I'm surprised you could understand him with all the breaking up and the emotion in his voice.
A lot of emotion.
There was a lot of emotion, Brian. And then Tony Fulmer, who is a fan favorite of the show. We have Tony on from time to time to talk about the world of plants. He knows his stuff. People are already our show hasn't started yet, and people are already calling.
I know Horticulture Corner is huge.
Yep.
All right.
I was going to say what I put in horticulture, but I'll leave that alone.
All right. Well, you guys have a wonderful show. I will see you tomorrow. We'll see. Maybe we start over with nice
Let's
Brian
start
comes
over
back.
Tomorrow.
We'll find out. I don't know.